This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I just muted my mic as I was turning it up. At the same time, I do two things at once and nothing works out well. Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's a little bit after 7 o'clock. It is a Tuesday night. You are in studio. We call it Studio C with the show. I am Clayton McKee alongside this week, Aaron Henderson joins us.
Hi, Aaron.
Marnie Ryer at the far end of the table. And that's Al Perkins sitting right there eating
lightly salted peanuts.
Because we found out a couple weeks ago that no salt are shitty peanuts.
Oh, they're here.
They sit untouched by my couch.
When most everything by your couch gets touched at some point. It is Tuesday, June
20th. Those nuts remain unbothered, untainted.
Note to self.
Yeah. It is Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. This is show number 173. And this is the only show on the network, yes. But it's also the only show that asks the question, do Chinese tourists get upset when they buy a souvenir in America and find out that it was made in China? These are questions.
I could have brought it here myself.
Burning questions. Oh, Cousin Ed made that. Look at that. He got his little stamp on it. Or however Ed translates back to Chinese. I don't know. Uh-huh. What's your name? My name is Becky. No, it's not. Your name is... Like something. I don't
where
know.
Are you from right now? I can't track where you are.
Luckily, Uganda. No one can be offended by that because
Uganda. Yes.
It may be dolphin at this point. I'm not really sure.
Oh God!
I want some action. How about I turn into a dolphin?
Well, somebody online will fuck it somewhere. I'm not sure. Anywho, thank you all for being with us. We are happy to be here. Katie June has a photo shoot she actually had to do today, and unfortunately,
she's very popular.
They booked it at 8 o'clock tonight, our time, so she could not be here. But who knows with Katie? She may decide when it's done to come in, because we go till 10.
Yes.
Ish. Something near
I think we
that.
Hit the 10 hard last week. Didn't we? Did we separate at 10?
No.
A little bit after.
No, it was 12 after, yeah. I think. Because remember, I have to edit the audio, and I'm always surprised to see, okay, how long did we go this week? Because usually we do really well. It's like right at the 3 hour. Maybe it's 2:59, yeah. 3:01. Oh, no.
It's been late spring that's been bad.
Well, ever since I opened up that window where we can start half an hour early so I can do... Because I really do like on the feedback that I've got... Because we do the lovely on hold music that I steal from YouTube and then put my voice over it, so that people, because sometimes it's difficult if we immediately start the broadcast right at 7, they can't find us quick enough. Mm-hmm. So I open that window up so people can jump in. And loving this evening, Richard from Quebec and Tomo from New Zealand were both in well before we started broadcasting, which I think is fun.
And then the Russian Federation. What was the other one you said?
It was Russian Federation. Well, New Zealand obviously is Tomo, and then Russian Federation is listening as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. So
That was a long time ago, too.
Yeah.
Long time ago, someone, and I don't remember the name.
I don't remember that either.
Maybe, yeah.
Now, no, because that's going to become Russia, which I... Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I don't... what I do throughout the week, just randomly, I'll hit the app that I have, and I'll look and see at any time, day or night, people listening. And sometimes I'm surprised. There'll be 13, 14 people. Sometimes there's two. Sometimes there's none.
No.
But it's interesting that, you know, because we are... This Q Talk America is 24/7 us.
That's right.
I mean, if you don't like us now, listen to us later. You'll like us less.
Wow. That's going to keep
going
down.
Does that count, like, if I am currently downloading a podcast, does it show up? Or do I have to be listening on the site?
No, these are, the app that I have, which I'll show you right quick here. This app, and right now, nobody is listening live. This little app shows us, and later on when people listen, because hopefully they will again, I'll show you how it looks up. And it lets us know the country, their IP address, which means nothing, and then tells us how long they've been listening.
Oh, cool.
And I literally will pop in the middle of the night or day and see this, and somebody's been listening like 2-3 hours. So my guess is they're catching entire shows
on
rebroadcast.
Yeah. That is fun.
So, like, if you are listening or watching us live, nobody's listening right now, but you can join
nothing
us
like that. Huh?
You can join us in the chat room. Go right to qtalkamerica.com. The banner above on the top of the screen. You can click right there. Join us in the chat room. Let us know where you are, what you're doing. Like I said, we've already got Tomo and Richard are already in there. Oh, Aaron, you've signed in. Meow Cow. Hello, Meow Cow. And she is
he.
He is where?
Middle of nowhere, Minnesota.
Okay, because I thought it was a Minnesota connection.
Who?
Up. Meow Cow.
No, but you don't know this person.
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, I thought it was somebody new.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No.
No, no, no. When he said where he was from, I kind of looked it up and went,
I couldn't. I couldn't remember. Yeah. Meow, Cal, let us know where you are, because, well, I mean, we're not going to come stalk you, because I'm not going to go that fucking far. And it's in Minnesota.
Well, I don't know. Going to right now.
I know it's
the
something
time.
Easy, but. Yeah.
Oh, it is really easy. Let me have that.
Yeah. Sun Country is offering some mean specials right now out of Minnesota.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Sun, and where does the Sun Country land in Mesa?
No, it's Sky Harbor.
Sky Harbor.
Oh, that's right. Terminal 3. For a while, they pretended to be like Southwest Airlines. They were kind of like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They would use the same planes, mm-hmm. so you could fly...
Yeah, but now it's... They
Thank you.
They're happy with the fact that they're just from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the... The Sun Country used to do like my family would do Vegas tours through them.
That's where I think they were known more for. Didn't they do like charters?
Yeah, they mainly? Were charter planes, but they would use mm-hmm. like sometimes they would charter a Southwest plane. And
oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You'd be under the guise of
got it.
Yes,
Shamu the
Put
whale.
A blanket over it.
Meow Cal said, like Marnie said, middle of nowhere, Minnesota, right smack in the middle. well, thanks for being here.
And it's not my goal, because my goal now is to see all 50 states. So Minnesota's on the list of places I need to get to.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
We go every October during my fall break.
And I hear there's lakes, which is I always want to travel
to
water.
They say 10,000 of them, but I think there are more.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And right now, my favorite place, Meow Cal, I don't know how often or if at all that you've ever gone, but Minnehaha Falls is my favorite place.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Kind of on Earth.
Okay.
That I've been. And
besides next to me.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
She's so early in the show.
I know.
Well, I'm not drunk
will
yet.
Boots be provided?
Wait.
Will boots be provided to wade through whatever that is?
The rest of the show.
Minnehaha.
I know shit
and
from Shinola.
it is overflowing right now because of all the rain and torrential storms that they've had. But it's beautiful.
Well, have them call me when it dries up.
No. You want to see it that
falls,
way.
Not the falls.
The rain. Oh, no. And it has.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that could change it.
I know it'd be a surprise to you, but I want to go to Winnebago or wherever the hell it is. It's in there. What city do they make those in up there?
I want to make fun of you, but then it'll turn out there really is a Winnebago.
Are you talking about like Elk River, where they
I don't know,
have like...
I thought there was a city named Winnebago.
Well, there could be. There's Jenny-O, Minnesota or something.
Shut up.
I'm just kidding.
I want to go where they manufacture the big RVs.
I'll look.
I want to watch.
I will be assuming the position of Katie June this evening.
I'm not sure what position that is.
We'll
ask her when she gets here.
Yeah.
A little concerned.
Tell us your position.
Make it up. Next week, Katie,
and
what's
Richard, I grew up on the border of Canada, so I've kind of been there a lot.
City of Winnebago, Minnesota.
Okay.
Welcome to Winnebago, Minnesota.
And that is where they manufacture?
It is a thriving downtown, a great school.
One.
Home to a great school. And several parks.
Home to a great school and 87 shitty ones.
Including a swimming pool.
Oh. Does it say anything about the manufacturer?
We have everything your family needs, including a school, a grocery store, a medical clinic, a dentist, and more. What do you suppose the more is?
And more.
That's Main Street with the flashing light.
Not even the red, one
traffic light.
Yeah, yes. It does not turn red.
No, it says, yellow. Come find out what we are called, the small town with a big heart.
Oh.
And they're also hiring part-time police officers, if anyone's interested.
Well.
And I think we've all seen how that goes.
Oh, they even have a Twitter feed.
Sure. Well, does it say anything about making those goddamn RVs there?
Did not come up yet.
Clearly.
No. That might be the
but
and
I can
more.
Buy a pool pass online if you want to buy a pool. We can make donations to the city.
I don't want
to
make a donation. Pool. I'm going
to
Google
donations
where.
Donations to the city.
Where?
It's cityofwinnebago.com.
There you go. Yeah. I didn't know.
There's a phone number. Do you think it goes to like somebody's house?
Well,
the police chief.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like an operator. Who can I connect you to?
Yeah. Sarah, can
I? I'd like to speak to Jean. Oh, sure. I think she's
that's
home.
28.
I can see her from here.
It's all about Jean.
Now, guys, let's be real careful. It's about 9 minutes after nine there. And, you know, so you don't want to make too hasty of a phone call.
Don't talk too loud.
No.
No.
I am so far off.
What's happening?
Winnebago Industries is in Forest City, Iowa.
Well, see, right there.
You really ought to give Iowa a try.
Oh, yay.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
A little Music Man action?
What the fuck?
This evening. That's for the Music Man.
I am mortified that I missed a Music
he's
Man.
A what, he's a what? He's a Music Man. That was fantastic on the Tonys, by the way.
I agree.
I never saw any of it.
I still have it at home.
Oh, good. I'll have to come over and... I won't break in. I'll just come. I'll come over when you know I'm coming.
Yeah, there are nuts by the couch if you're interested.
Well, exactly. the salt free.
Yeah. Saltless,
the clean nuts.
Taste free, salt free.
Untouched for 2 weeks.
Interest free.
Exactly. Low sodium, low interest. Hey, Tyler.
Now, my favorite part. My favorite phone conversation today on the phone was with the one and only Aaron Henderson. So I call Aaron because I was. Katie texted me this morning and she said that she couldn't make it because of this. And I'm like, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Do your thing. I don't think any of us get paid to be here. So I'm like, I got nothing. I can't hold your feet to the fire. So anyway, so she had to be out. I understood. So I gave Aaron a call and I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, what are you doing tonight? I said, well, probably more importantly, what are you doing in the morning? I said, because maybe if you have to get up in the morning, you can't play tonight. And she goes, oh, I only teach half a day. I'm good.
Summer school.
Yeah.
She's like,
drowsy.
So I'm like, well, that really champions the education that they're getting.
Cause yes.
She doesn't give a shit that she's going to come and drink whatever the hell you made.
It's kind of sangria, but then I have a bottle of white here.
I had a girl. So.
Not a girl.
Hopefully they'll learn something.
$4.97 at Fry's.
I'm okay with the barefoots. You know what I mean?
$4.97 at Fry's. Can't beat it.
Yeah.
You also asked what I was doing, and I said
you were watching Orange Is the New Black.
No, what? The Housewives of Orange County.
Housewives of Orange County.
Very different.
But there was the word orange in it. That's all I got.
Ding. Yeah. And I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to blow off tomorrow morning. There are only two more days of summer school. It's tomorrow and Thursday.
So are there finals for summer school?
So we're assholes because we've given a test every day of summer school to make sure that
I would have and you're alive.
But we're doing a special bridge program where kids have to pass it.
Oh, you get to play bridge?
Yeah, bridge. Bunko.
Canasta, pinochles coming up.
I can play canasta. Yes, Tyler, summer school. My 4 weeks is over on Thursday. And then I get 3 weeks of summer before I'm back.
Oh, you get that's it, a whole 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny in retrospect, when you're younger, I guess you have no real
concept of time.
So you think summer's like, oh my God, summer's forever.
Well, it's like three months for kids.
Right, 3 months for that. But now that I realize, have they somewhat shortened school years? Because now it seems like they stop and they go like to Disneyland, they come back and they go right back to school.
Yeah, so
Plug for Disneyland.
In most of the United States, people go to school until they're in the middle of June or even end of June.
Yeah.
And then they don't go back till after Labor Day. I think because of air conditioning costs, although August is way fucking hotter than June, we finish the week before Memorial Day, and my kids come the first Monday of August. I'm back the end of July.
Okay.
And so if I teach summer school, then I have a couple weeks. The kids have like 10 weeks.
Okay. So they're still at 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And I remember because I went to school with the middle-ish end of June, depending on how many snow days you had.
Yeah.
And you go back the first Wednesday after Labor Day. Yep. And I remember getting the first day of August being sad every year, like, oh, it's almost like it's the second
it's a
half.
Whole month.
Yeah, no, I was always like, oh, it's the second
winding
half.
Down.
It's winding down.
Yeah, but as kids, it was like, God, I want to go back to school. I want to see my friends. I want to.
And
my
your teacher.
I just want to let you know that expression never came out of my mouth.
Yeah, who is that person?
Oh God,
what's that? She never went to classes at school. She just went to the building of school.
Well, that was my freshman year of college. I didn't go to any classes, but I was always in the union.
That was why I didn't get to stay in college.
That was my senior year of high school.
I'm talking about when you're younger.
Well, you're not supposed to do your senior year
of high school. I don't think.
Oh, we would like play and play and play, and we had so much fun. And then all of a sudden, I'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm so bored!"
Wow, I know it's gonna shock to you, but I had so many other things going on.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I was like, I just want to stay and do all these projects.
Sure.
Because I used to go to one farm with a grandfather, and back in the day, right. I mean, we're talking early 80s, I mean, I made $20 a weekend.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God, that's crazy
Holy
money.
Crap.
And $20, and I got to go play on tractors and farm stuff all day, and I got fed for...
And paid?
And $20 cash under the table. Yeah.
Under the tractor, as it were.
I think the statute of limitations has probably run out on that. I'm not going to get taxed on, you know, a summer full of 20s. I think I'll be all right. But yeah,
sound like a hooker. Had a summer full of 20s.
And a farm was involved. Never mind.
We'll let that go.
Okay, so you've got 2 more days of summer school. You're out. And then you guys are taking off to go to Cali, aren't you?
We go Thursday after I finish summer school. We're just hopping in the car and going up to Pride.
Oh, that soon.
This Thursday. No, well, we're going to Pride, not California. Well, we're not going.
Go to Flag.
We're going to Flagstaff. We may not actually make it to Pride, but we'll be there for the weekend. Pride.
Yep. Say hi to what are the lesbians' names?
They're all lesbians.
Ones you never remember?
There's only lesbians.
Oh, Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Those two. What are they?
Brenda and Robin.
Brenda and Robin. Thank you. I couldn't remember.
I got it right. Batman.
That's They're funny. Not coming
with Though us. You did say Batman.
Yeah, you did.
Robin is just, you Robin. Got that by default.
Yeah. Yes. It's a true story.
Hi, Harrison.
I've never called him anything else but Batman and Robin. Why would I start now?
So when I sent him a text today to notify him you were coming in,
Notify. You need a notice.
Well, I like to everybody's yeah. prepared, so if they want to bring anything extra. Plus, I noticed that on Facebook, YouTube, been going back and forth about some TV show.
I need your advice.
But obviously, Siri auto-corrected it, and your name was I forget what it was.
It was A-R-I-N. Yeah. It was spelled really weird.
It was almost like a boy's name. Yeah. I didn't want him to go, who the fuck is that?
I figured, I'm not that stupid.
Well, I know, but you were just waking up.
I turned away from the unsalted knots, and I said, I bet I know who that is.
Tell me you didn't change it to Ernie.
No, but no, I should have, but I didn't. No, it
would have made it clearer.
Autocorrect would have understood that.
No, Aaron, it was A-R-O-N is what it put you as.
Oh, yeah, weird.
So I typed in E-R.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to Flagstaff/Sedona for a couple days, and then we're home for a week.
We're going to
Jeannie, want to mind mine
no,
off?
No, it's right there. It's right. He's lost a chunkla.
Hi, Molly.
Hey,
Molly.
And then we go to California to
yes, Molly. I said early '80s.
Ventura and Santa Barbara for four nights. No.
Is that the wine run for him you're doing, or no?
Wine run.
Well, maybe.
Oh, I guess I didn't know we were doing a wine run for him. That's a surprise to me.
If I go somewhere, he asks me to pick up wine. Yes. I'm assuming since you're leaving the Continental Valley.
And we're is that a
Continental Valley?
Since you're leaving the Valley of the Sun and you're going to go somewhere that may or may not have a liquor substance he can acquire, he's going to make you do it.
We'll get booze no matter where we go.
Time
permitting. I don't know if you notice I gravitate towards wine. So...
Those
you know.
Poor students of yours.
I got to remember in 13 minutes to grab this wine out of the fridge. So I just wanted it a little bit chilled. But
right.
So I'm drinking a lovely one from Arroyo Grande, AG as they call it, because they can't anglicize that.
Yes.
Isn't AG anglicizing it, basically?
Right, but they can't say, there's no way to make Arroyo Grande white. They can't. There's too many R's and Y's. There's no white way to pronounce that.
Can I give that?
There's no white way or wrong way.
Did you see what Tyler just put in the chat room about Arizona as the valley? Of Republican death.
We're hopeful. Yes. We got a midterm coming up. They're shooting themselves in the foot right and left in this state.
Yeah, the problem is that the fucking idiots who still vote, they still vote for him.
Have you seen...
Don't get her started.
Okay, never mind.
On who? John Hoopenthal? Joe Arpaio?
Like son?
Likes dogs.
No. Yeah, the dogs.
Oh. He hates humans, but he likes dogs. And
he's always been an advocate for 1%. Animals. He really
I like him
1%. Yeah. But, no, that who's this guy Ducey?
Doug Ducey?
Oh, my God.
Doug Douchebag.
Oh, yes.
No. Oh, you just found out about him? Well, that little charmer?
I pay no
attention. What happened that you...
No, I just... His commercials. And I'm like, I'm just sell me a used car and let's be done with this because it's all I get out of him.
I love that John Hoopenthal's campaign signs on the side of the road have like a Mexican kid on them. Yeah. And, you know, he hates them. So I'm like,
have
you heard about that?
He was doing it under a different pen
like
name.
Coyote or some bullshit.
Yeah.
What was the guy with the big nose and small everything?
Jimmy
else?
Durante.
Nope. That could have been the name. What was it, like Captain Macho or whatever his name is out in New York, about? The one who was running.
Wiener.
Anthony Wiener.
Oh!
Yeah, Anthony Wiener.
Yeah.
Who showed pictures
not
of his...
that right.
Wiener.
Right. So, yeah, he had, like, Captain something. And,
you're right. I remember that now.
His assumed name. Maybe that's
what... That's right. His pen name was...
But one of the funny things was John Stewart is actually a childhood friend of Anthony Wiener. Like, they've known... Oh. They go way back. They're from the same neighborhood. They really went to the same school. And the funny thing was is when the first pictures of Wiener, when he was denying it, and... As a close friend, John Stewart was defending him at first.
Carlos Danger.
Carlos Danger.
That's right. I love that.
And so the first thing John Stewart said was, I know Anthony Wiener, and we had gym class together. That's not Anthony's Wiener. He was like, I mean, I realize that maybe there was cold water where we were at, but and it was really funny that he was saying that the picture was way too large. I'm like, well, maybe the last time you saw it, he was a child.
Sure, right. Right. He had shorter legs.
Also, what does it say? John Stewart's remembering? That's good, babe.
That might have been what it was.
That was funny, Mark.
What did you say?
Maybe he had shorter legs.
Yeah.
That's all I can imagine. I don't know.
I got no comeback for that, really. I was hoping I was going to.
Every time I think we can get up on our high horse and make fun of like West Virginia or Alabama or someone, I'm like, yeah,
nope, we can't.
We want to climb up on the high horse, but damn it, these people are fucktards.
Molly, I think I've seen that commercial too. There's a commercial
for GoDaddy exec.
The commercial for the white Republican woman running for governor has them do a zoom in on a Hispanic woman smiling when she says, quote, no amnesty for illegal border crossers. Yeah, there's nothing like politics in Arizona.
I was listening to those fucktards on the radio station that plays when I'm not home.
Yes.
And they were doing something about illegal immigration today or undocumented people. And I just wanted to call in and be like, you realize you're not talking about cattle, right? You realize these are actual
people. Right, these are actual people.
Because one's like, well, the children, they have bathrooms there and they're feeding them occasionally in like the prison camp they have them in. And I'm like, they said that about Auschwitz too. But they have bathrooms and they feed them occasionally.
Every once in a while you get a piece of bread.
And
careful of the ovens.
Hey, it's hot over there. Be careful.
One of these days I'm just going to seriously throw that. I've got to find something that plays because they say if you're not at home, you should play something that sounds softly like talking.
Yeah, I play NPR.
That way
dogs.
If somebody comes to the house, you hear
that
voices.
That just puts everybody to sleep.
But you can't play it real loud or they'll realize that it's a radio station. So it's got to be enough to like strain. But just funny that
you should just play this show
to them for like 5 minutes a day. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That would at least be my voice.
Yeah,
mostly.
Oh, good
idea. Sounds like somebody's got people with them.
And nobody would break in. Everybody sounds angry. Fuck that. Right. This. So
that's
be like,
good.
Oh,
it's a house full of Tourette's.
Yeah. And that's maybe, a good idea, though.
And especially those people that come to your door wanting you to sign up for shit.
Right.
You know, as we're bagging people in the show.
Jehovah Witnesses.
Right.
Fuck you.
The Watchtower's calling. I gotta go.
I gotta tell you, the religious people have not been by in years. It's all
I think the
deadline passed. I think we're over the
petitions have been due. Yeah, petitions are due, so nobody's gonna now people are gonna knock on your door ask for your
Gallego
vote.
Thing too.
Tell me about
I'm
it.
You.
Oh, I could watch a tree die with all the shit.
Did you know that?
Right.
Oh, because Katie June's not here. Did you know that Marnie Marnie got two mailers within 24 hours, both for fucking Kyrsten Sinema.
Seriously.
Wait, is that an encouragement?
No.
Well, I think it was trying to be an encouragement, but I just saw her big old face and I just... Ugh.
Yeah,
and no offense, Kyrsten.
Yeah, really? Good thing Katie's not here.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Katie. Well, Katie knows. Katie knows. But, get those things out of the mailbox.
Yeah.
No.
2 years ago? Was it that you had, like...
Oh, when I lived in Ahwatukee, it was... I got
overboard.
At least three a day, and I could...
From everybody.
And the stupid thing is, like, I was on David Shapiro's robocalls. I was on his campaign. Like, had they done any sort of anything, they would have realized it was just a waste of money. But
they're just looking for name
registered
recognition.
Voter,
almost
registered
everybody
voters.
Votes on name recognition.
I know, it's sickening.
It would be so difficult for them to go, you know, handpick each house and pick, can't go there.
They do that, but it's just through the voter, the network of things to see, like, high efficacy voters and who lean.
Is there something that you can put on your... the door, aside from like pictures of, you know, guns and shit, is there something you could put on your front door that would literally make these people understand that they are never ever to touch your bell, ring your door?
Well, no, soliciting doesn't work.
No,
because it doesn't apply to politics. Mm-mm. I did put a
no,
sign on my door once.
It's too big a word, too.
Soliciting.
I like that you think that the education level of these people soliciting is that high, but
sometimes. I know public education in the States.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Soliciting's that's a big fancy fucking word. Yeah. That's $20.
What did I have on my door for a while? It said it was during that campaign frenzy, and I think I said like, I like my yard the way it is. I know who I'm voting for, and I know what I believe in. Mm-hmm. So just leave me the hell alone. And people stopped.
I'm gonna get that.
Yeah, I do.
I can get laminated and put. Because the paper thing that I put up every day when I go to bed,
yeah,
doesn't work.
The hell alone. All right.
Well, no, it's not going to stay forever. One good wind and that's out of there. And then I'm littering.
Yeah.
And then I fall into my own biggest sin.
Right, make a little nice thing and have put a frame.
That's what I said.
I got
to get something laminated or framed.
Yeah, framed and put on your own thing.
What have you?
That'd be nice.
Marnie, what have you been up to?
Not a bunch. Just working. I mean, as always, whatever. Just talking to a lot of people on the phone about dumb stuff.
and you seem so proud.
Dumb stuff.
You have no idea. 3-hour conversation today.
Oh.
These kind of things wear me out.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
A 3-hour conversation with anybody would wear me out.
Yeah, but
that's why we're tired when we end this show every time.
That's why she says
in the middle of a 3-hour show. Yeah.
Yeah, 25 in. We're gosh, I'm already nappy.
Funny,
that's good, but yeah. Otherwise, just working. I'm working on my house a little bit, and
how do you?
We went swimming.
That's a question I actually had for you because I wonder about this thing because clearly you have a full and established household with mom and your. What do you call it?
The brood
of dogs, your animal shelter, and then she has her own. So I don't know. How do you? You must be the one who has to toggle back and forth because it's her house and your mom. You don't evict your mom to go somewhere else. Yeah. So I would assume. Do you toggle back and forth?
I usually spend one night a weekend at her house. She spends at least one night a weekend at my house, mm-hmm. and then during the week, and then we. Yeah, during the school year, she has to come over to my house a lot because I go to bed at a stupid early hour.
Right. 6 p.m.?
7. Okay, daylight savings. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait.
7.
Yeah, we don't have.
No, we don't have it. But, she usually has slept, which is why she's happy that I live a mile away instead of 20 miles away.
Oh, that makes life. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nice distance.
And when it cools off, we can ride our bikes to each other's houses and then... Yeah.
It's nice.
What is this, Richard? I fix that problem really easily. Every time we get around to door-to-door questioning, I put a sign saying, ring and you lose my vote and I'll drag you to hell with me.
Drag you to hell.
That really
covers the religious people. Because they're like, oh no, I'm not going to hell with her.
That's a good call.
I like it.
That's good.
Oh, wait, can I go back to me for just a second? Do you know what else I did this weekend? May I just? Yeah. You know what else I did this weekend?
Huh.
Almost caught in a fight with abortion protesters on the street.
Way
to go.
Yay.
I'm down with that fight.
Yeah. They were.
I'm a little concerned about the guns that might be like hidden.
Right.
Yeah, when she does something,
there was a police officer.
The anti-choice people are pretty often
pro-gun. If they're pregnant, they got nowhere to store.
Here.
Yeah. What?
If they're pregnant, they got nowhere to store. Remember that story we did to that woman?
Oh, they were
in the vajayjay.
Oh, yeah.
In the vajayjay. Yeah.
Well,
I'm like, in the vajayjay.
I was like, what? They got lots of places to store the guns.
The woman I got into a fight with, she wasn't pregnant. She had a sign that said, "I regret my abortion." And I said,
"Well, she probably regrets a lot of things in life,
I'm
sure that's not the number one on her list."
I think they thought they had won because I saw all these protesters, and I thought, "Ah, fuck you!" So I went inside the clinic to donate money to them because you know what? There, how many people out there? 30 people out there. I'm gonna give you $30, one per person out there protesting. So I go in and I come out 10 minutes later, and they think they've won me, right? Because she didn't get the abortion. She went in, she came back out. They're trying to flag me over. I'm like, oh. No. I just gave them money because you guys are idiots. And the woman, she's, you know, we're here for you. We're here for you.
I don't know if you know where I'm going with this.
And I said, I don't even want to know. I said, you don't need to be here for me. I'm not pregnant. I'm gay. And then I walked away. Yeah. And then
I'm going to piss you up in like 4 different runs.
Yeah.
I'm more just laughing about the fact that if you would have just exploded because they actually thought you were pregnant when you walked in.
I had that thought too.
Oh, because I'm a big old fatty. Oh, no, I don't care about that shit. That's funny. No.
That's what I thought too. I'd be like, oh, fuck you.
So much for this. So
I'll
much
give
for weight loss. Right? Assholes. No, because I just went in and out so fast, which is probably how people get in the abortion clinic anyway.
Give me your gun and ask me if I'm pregnant again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Let's try that one more time.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, you did it?
No.
All?
God.
That's the first thing I thought of.
It's because I was leaving yoga, so maybe I was feeling very skinny.
But I work predominantly with women. So, and we talk about this all the time. The pregnant thing is very, very touchy.
People have asked me before.
And seriously, until you put the baby in my arms, I don't question.
Right.
I don't ask questions. I don't know. That baby can be visibly kicking, and I still want to ask if you're pregnant because I'm like,
that's a trap.
The repercussions of that question.
That is a trap that I cannot get out of.
You leave that alone.
And everybody knows now because they've watched me fall through that hole so many times. Everyone's like, you can ask about her pregnancy. I'm like, no, I won't.
Not going to happen.
No, I won't.
You can offer information to me.
Now, what if somebody comes to you and says, to you, I am with child.
Oh, that's
then you're clear.
They have to clearly state, I am with child.
Can you sign this paper? Press hard, you're making copies.
Yeah. Spell my name correctly.
Yes. Can you go into that x-ray room?
Yeah.
No?
Just okay. Light radiation.
Yeah. That's how they found out in the service that mom was pregnant with me. She had hidden it for like 7-some months.
Wow.
And her CO, whatever person, looked and really kept thinking. And mom worked in the hospital. She was a nurse person in the Air Force. And they were like, she said, you need to go into the x-ray room and get blah, blah, blah. Well, so mom just sat there. Nope. I'm not doing that. She goes, you need to go in there, Ryer, blah, blah, blah. Or McDonald at the time, Airman McDonald. You need to go in there. And she said, nope. And so they said, well, there you have it. And that's how it came out.
Maybe she did go in.
So wait, so is it taboo? Could she, was
you
it
can
wrong?
Walk home.
I love you.
No, you just don't put a pregnant woman near radiation.
No. I understand that. No, was she
clinic.
Discharged?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She actually ended up, she was honorably discharged, but she was discharged from the service.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because
I knew about the radiation and the pregnancy, but
now,
I wasn't sure.
Had she carried full term and they hadn't known, she could have stayed
in the
service.
And gave birth at the
prom. Basically.
Yeah.
She could have stayed in the service and continued, and I would have had the full benefits of her being in service.
Damn it!
Mm-hmm.
So many things were wrong in the 60s.
Fucking x-rays.
She should have gone in the x-ray
smoked
room.
And drank the whole time. Just go into the fucking x-ray room.
Seriously.
What's wrong with you?
Seriously.
You know, that's a good
one.
Sadly, you're probably correct. Did she smoke and drink? Not drink, but
I'm going
I don't
say,
know.
I'm going to say yes.
Because, okay. Oh, drink then?
Oh, drink. Oh, drinking.
Oh, my mom?
Yeah,
oh,
then.
Sure.
Yeah, the drinking thing is a little bit later than our generation on the taboo part.
No, right. But she was in the medical profession. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have a little bit of a, oh, maybe I should stop this shit.
She was also in the service.
And actually, back they're not allowed to even mention it now, but there is the theory that towards the end, a glass of wine can be beneficial.
Yeah. No, right. I've heard that.
But there's not one doctor that will say it out loud. But if you get them off camera and make them press really firmly to make all the copies, like, you can have a glass of wine. It's at the end.
A glass a day.
Sure.
Molly
An
said
hour.
They were so confused because she was drinking beer at the time.
Yeah. That's right. I can't get it next to me, but can you refill my beer?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Can I have
is this on special?
Well, yes, please.
Thank you.
Help thyself.
Perkins, I'm sure you've been working.
I've been working, and then I sought medical attention, and we got drugs to solve the sleep problem. So I
That's right. You did it. Last Wednesday after our show.
And then the true
the
irony was
glorious night of drinking.
Yeah, I work exactly.
Jesus.
I went and sought medical help after last week's adventure in drinking.
Mm-hmm. Funny.
But so it was really funny that the doctor was very kind about it. You know, he went over the few little labs that I had for a work thing, and he was like, you know, you're good. And I told him about the sleep, and he was like. And I told him what drugs that my neurologist has prescribed in the past, and he's okay with it. And he's like, all right, here's what we're doing. He's like, you have 5 days. You take the drug, good sleep hygiene, no TV. You go to bed, you turn off the lights, no stimulation. You take the pill, you sleep as long as you can, like every single day, sleep hygiene. Like, no fucking around. You don't stay up for something. Bedtime is whatever time it is, 8:30, 9 o'clock, pick it, you're in.
Welcome to my
you
world.
You take the pill, you do it
for
5 days. And he's like, and then after that, you take... Get off the pill, but you keep that habit, and hopefully we'll break the...
Oh, it's a cycle thing. It's not right.
That's what he's thinking. So, but it was interesting to do, like, to have that order of, like, you know, go home, I can have a little snack, I can watch, but at, like, 8:15, whether I got off when I got home at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, by 8:15, 8:30... I was in bed, like lights out, no sleeping with like a talk show on like I do. I listen to David Pakman a lot, no stimulation, lights out, go to sleep. And so, I mean, the pill helped.
Okay.
And then yesterday I just slept for like 20 hours because I was like, my body was like, and we like sleep again.
And Molly just asked, you're not permitted to read either? Just it's literally no outside stimulation of...
Yeah, I mean, you could probably read for a little bit, but you have to call lights out no more at a certain time and you cut it. It's called sleep hygiene.
I'd never heard it termed that way.
Yeah.
Not the Marnie style of falling asleep with a book in her face.
But all that's fine. I can add that. I can add reading back because reading does make you sometimes makes me sleepy.
And it's fundamental.
The bulk of the time. It's when this insomnia hits that you have to like, and he said, don't, you know, you can't stay on drugs forever.
Right.
Right.
But you have to take them now.
Richard is saying that he wanted to know what it is because he's looking for something for his own sleeping problems.
I take temazepam. it's an anti-anxiety, whatever you want to call it, like a Valium.
Isn't that anything that ends with a Pam?
Yeah, it's temazepam, Restoril. But this one is only for sleeping, and it really has no other. I mean, you do have a little pleasant, like you feel a little happy, and you're less likely to bite someone. But
yes,
but it was nice. So it was good sleeping. And then because the week before, I told you when I wasn't sleeping, I just kept going to the gym because I'm like, well, fuck it. If I'm not going to sleep, then I'm going to go work out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was able to keep that up all week too. Is like good. Get my sleep, go right to the gym, and
the nice part is because this is when you're normally up when we do the show. We're not affecting your
no, it never does. Right, and you start right when I start work at 7 p.m. The show starts at 7 p.m.
Right.
Like right.
This is always fun. Even if I work Monday nights, I get up at 5:30 when I normally do.
Oh, hand in glove. It works lovely. Really,
you chose the time beautifully. That really was nice. I have not a lot of like fresh entertainment to share with you because it's all been, you know, when I don't sleep is when I see 19,000 movies.
And how does that make you feel? Because you've literally unplugged yourself from that lovely TV you have.
It was good. And then like I've only watched the soccer at the gym. Like I it took me like 4 days to watch Fargo because I had to watch it 15 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. I was finally off yesterday. So I did catch up on like Sundays are impossible. They put every fucking good show on Sunday.
That's what when I get ready in the morning, I've got about 20 minutes when I make up and lotion whatever. And that's I Hulu.
When you lotion whatever?
I lotion whatever. I like to be soft.
As high as possible, as low as possible, and sometimes possible. Mm-hmm.
God. Yes, but then that's when I watched like so that's how I just finished United States of Terra, which I had never seen, which I loved. I loved. So now I need a replacement.
Have you seen The Big C?
No.
Oh, The Big C with Laura Linney. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I started with that gang related show that's on TV like now time, but I missed the first 3 or 4 episodes. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Gang related.
Gang related. It's got one Terry Quinn from Lost, the bald guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. John Locke.
Yeah, John Locke.
I call him John Locke.
He's so good. Such a good actor.
So many exciting things out there.
Okay, sorry.
And then it's kind of tricky to find, but Orphan Black.
That's the one you sent me.
And it was the one that I just got sick last year of recommending shows that everyone just looked at me blankly. And then Harrison was like, you never heard of this? I'm like, I actually have. I just got sick of recommending TV shows. But Orphan Black is so good, but it's really tricky to find.
Okay.
I haven't seen this season at all because I always forget I have BBC. But
The BBC.
It's really good.
But you said the new the C word.
It's really Lenny, it's really nice and it ends beautifully. They finished it off with the
unlike
movie.
United States of Terror, that just fucking
lovely.
Stopped.
But stopped in a great episode.
Stopped in a great episode.
Great episode. Okay, and for you, Clayton?
Oh, just it's the typical, it's work, it's run, it's do this, it's do that. And you may have seen somebody posted today cuz what?
I'm laughing at your own post about the pageant.
Oh, the pageant. Okay, yeah. So Miss Gay Arizona America happened on Sunday.
Right?
Huh? Maybe.
You left it in intermission?
No. We stayed to the bitter, surprising ending.
I meant right now is the intermission.
Right, yeah. So we go, and we go through all that. And I really had no dog in that fight. I just wanted to – I just went mainly because I recorded that intro for Tyra. Okay. She did a wonderful job of editing together everything. And you would have enjoyed it because – she called it Miss Gay Arizona America, the musical, and they got as many former Miss Arizonas to come back. There were a few that couldn't make it, but there were like 15 to 20 on stage.
Oh, wow.
And what they did is they curtain opens after she does her opening, the curtain opens, and they're all to stand in pose, and then my voiceover introduces all of them, and they come out of pose, and then they do a snippet of a song from a musical, all of them. And at first, Davina was the first one out because she actually was the oldest Miss Arizona on that stage, and she came out and did what I thought was almost an entire Diana Ross concert. And I don't know where that was from that made it a musical.
Wasn't that like a Night at Pookie's?
I don't know, but it was a long, and I thought to myself, there's 25 fucking girls up there, and if we have to go through 15 minutes of each one, we'll be here till Christmas.
Seriously.
Everybody else's snippet was a little bit shorter, but anyway, got all through it. It was nice. They did a really good job. It was at Phoenix Theater, which was, I thought, aside from the seating, because when you've got that many people wanting to get up, get this, the table is a lot better way to do it.
Phoenix Theater?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have the new space.
No, we were in the original theater. I thought we were in the new space. We were in the original Phoenix Theater.
How did you have a table?
No. What I'm saying is I didn't care for the seating because a table would have been better.
I gotcha.
Because when you've got that many different queens and people and trying to, you know, I want to get a drink, I go to the restroom, and you've got, you know, I don't know how many fit in that mid, that big row in the middle,
yeah,
it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I could see where that would be
but
a problem.
But the view, the seating was great. There's not a bad seat in the house. You can see every costume. You can see everything. That was all really well and good. So in the middle of it, I was bored. So I literally asked Siri how long the con it had been going on, and the response was 7 days.
Yeah.
And that was literally about an hour and a half to 2 hours in.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Started at 20 minutes after six, and we left there at a little before midnight.
That's why I won't go.
It was.
Wait, fucking Jesus.
It was.
May I just? There's a mental disorder about patience in the gay world of like everything you've ever seen ever in a pageant. And I liked pageants when I was little. I used to watch Miss Universe and Miss USA. But they have to include everything. And they don't realize that there was editing in those TV shows. Like,
all the prelims
were done. You didn't see them. Sure. You got the winner of it, and that's all you had to see.
And they should do highlights and snippets.
And they do all the prelims. So either you have to be a judge that's there for 4 days and be tortured, or you have to be in the audience for, like, 7 years.
So
I've been to two, and I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. I love them. They're all wonderful people. I will never go to another gay pageant as long as I live.
And I laugh because a couple nights before that,
nothing's that entertaining.
They asked if I was going to go to a preliminary something they were doing. I'm like, no, I got to work anyway. And I said, I'm just concerned this is going to take forever. And they swore to me, nope, we'll be crowning somebody by 10:15. Liar. I pulled them aside when they were done.
That was the longest BS West show, Halloween show ever, was the year that we turned it into a pageant and finally caved in.
Yeah.
That show's still going on. I left. I don't know where they crowned.
Somewhere
still. But we played to an empty crowd. The finale was to an empty, there was no one at the tables anymore because it was like a day later, and like, oh, this contestant? No, you get just one thing.
10 girls.
Because the contestants are fucking tired, too, I would imagine.
Well, right. But in a pageant, especially
but
like this.
But they're reliving some kind of, like, mental trauma. Yeah. It's like PTSD in reverse.
But remember, the promoters...
They're transferring their PTSD
on us. The promoters are milking everything they can, because they try to get as many to participate, because that's money for them. It's a pyramid scheme, I've decided. But what they had 10 contestants, so... Saturday night they had
plus 15 people performed before the show even fucking started.
Right? No, they didn't have. They only had the one this year. But then in between they had other entertainers.
You said 15 people came out.
That was the opening, but they just did snippets of songs. But in addition to that, in between competition, well, no, let's bring up Miss America. Let's bring out somebody else. So then they do 10-minute blocks of other shit between competitions, which drives us all crazy because there were 10 queens. So you've got 10 solo talent, 10 introductions, then you've got 10 talent numbers, then you've got 10 gowns, then you've got 10 on... Well, then they changed the rules. They took the 10 finalists, did the top five, goodbye other five, then we just did five on-stage questions.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it takes a while.
What was the best question? Were you paying attention
anymore?
How long
has this pageant been going on?
How old were you when you joined this pageant system?
That's what they asked of the audience.
Gracia Montez de Oca won.
Who's that? What's
you have no, you, it means nothing to you because you wouldn't even know who it is. She's a local girl, lives here.
Older?
No. Okay, he's and I couldn't even tell you what his boy name is. I've only known him as Gracia so long.
As what? Say that again slower.
Gracia Montez de Oca.
Okay.
And then first alt is Savannah Stevens. They're both going to the Nationals, which is this year being held in Nashville, first time that they're doing the Nationals in Nashville, I guess in 25 years, something like that. It's been a long time since they've gone back there. Because it used to be owned by the guy
We're all saying that'll be fun after we just said how horrible it was.
No.
Now you're going to take it to a national
stage. Well, no, that'll be fun. It'll be humid as fuck. And then you can
500,
go there. Tyler, go see it.
There'll be 500 people vying for the same miserable title. No, thank you.
But maybe it'll be a little more...
So the last 7 days, truly.
Right. Siri will be correct on that one. How long?
Siri's never right.
Yeah. 7 days, Bob. 7 days. How long?
7 days.
7 days, Bob. That's right. Anyway, so that I suffered through that, got through a bunch of other stuff. My little bit of fuck you this week was there was a network problem at a customer, and they brought in somebody else to troubleshoot the network, and they wanted me to come in to test it with them. And my crowning moment of the whole thing was when they thought I had done a wiring problem, and they're like, "Oh, your wiring's right." Like, yeah, my wiring's right.
Fuck off.
I'm right. Oh, that was my crowning achievement of the week.
Yay!
In the butt, Bob.
God, I love these balls. This ball. I love these balls. I love the bells?
You love the balls, too?
I love the bells.
Oh.
Bells so and balls.
Things we learned for 200.
I guess
swings
so.
Over balls. Swings
it's 744. It is the show on Q Talk America. I'm here this week with Aaron Henderson. Marnie Ryer, as usual. Al Perkins is sucking on wine that may or may not be good. Is it? What did you?
Oh, it's very good.
You decided?
It's a Tempranillo. Tempranillo. It's from Arroyo Grande, but it's from that fun place that I went
to
in Slough.
All right.
Because they can't whiten up that one either. So San Luis Obispo is called slow. And it was that fun place where the husband and wife, the man and the girlfriend, were trying to leave, but we like kept them entertained and they kept us entertained. Mm-hmm. And we ended up staying like 45 minutes after the place closed and drinking wine and
fun.
Trying port and everything. And this was the one bottle I got from them, and it's delicious. It was a good choice.
You laughed about the slow. Do you really not?
Oh, have you never been to that area?
No.
You have to whiten. They will gorgeous. Not. You cannot pronounce anything correctly because they just do not want to admit that they were ever part of Mexico.
Oh my God, that's funny. No, I.
So it's really San Luis Obispo.
Right. I know
and
that.
You can't whiten but it. You can't. It's San Luis. Like, that's how it should be pronounced.
Right.
And Arroyo Grande, they can't fix it because there's no
sure.
English word like that.
Sure.
So they call it AG. But if you go to Avila, they're like, it's. No. See, now I do it wrong.
Avila.
It should be Avila. But they pronounce it Avila.
Avila Beach.
And you're like, what are you trying to say? Like, that's not even spelled right. But that's as white. You have to make it sound as white as
wow.
you can.
Wow. No.
And if you say Paso Robles, they're like, it's
sure.
Paso Robles. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
But now the other reason I think the other reason it has the name slow, when you fly in, like, you know how when you go to Phoenix, it's PHX?
Right.
If you go there, it's SLO.
Oh, they just, that was just the easy way to
right.
do it.
Sure.
But, I mean, there's no one that walks around calling it SFO.
No.
You know what
no.
I mean? It's San Francisco.
SFO. Right. No, right. I understand that. But I think it all married up very handily because
yes.
everybody that flies there calls it slow because that's an internet, I think it's part of the airline industry, plus the, plus
oh, they
that.
Just, they just, anything they can do to not admit they were ever part of Mexico.
Wow.
It's a borderline offensive.
I can't.
Seriously.
But it makes me laugh, especially if you're in Paso Robles, and they make you, they literally
Paso Robles. That's how you just said it. Paso Robles is how you just said it, instead of Robles.
Yeah, because they will, they come after you. Like, now you're in Avila.
And they'll hit you with shit. 7:46, we have so much more coming. It's the headline portion of our program, and I hope we can pull it off, because it goes something like this. If I hit, I gotta get one button that I can, and all of it happens at once. That'd be handy. Oh my God, where's my scripts? Oh, here they are. It's headlines. Marnie and I are going to try to get through some stuff, and you're going to listen to it. God damn it.
God damn it.
And you'll like it.
Frosty the Goat passes away.
Aww. 90%, give or take.
Mummy found in Tucson.
Free library? No.
Car back through a restaurant drive-thru.
Rape, coveted status, or to be repented.
Gator moving ain't easy.
A back scratcher to foil a crime.
An attack of the angry beaver. This and more stories coming
Marnie.
Up. Right now.
Leave me out of this.
I'm Q-Talk America.
Oh. And there's one more that I have that's fantastic.
Oh.
And as we're listing things, like the fact that in Arizona they call it, how do they pronounce it? Casa Grande?
Yeah, Casa Grande.
It's like,
right. Casa Grande.
Well, Casa Grande is what it's called.
No,
right.
I mean, Casa Grande. It's called Casa Grande.
But when you meet the people that are like, it's Casa Grande.
Yeah, it's Casa Grande.
Used to be Mexico. You can't take it back.
No.
There's that. Well, some of you may remember this from being an online internet sensation. Frosty, the adorable baby snow goat who recently learned how to walk with the help of a wheelchair, he has passed away. And I think this is actually in Australia. It's in Australia. Tomo may be a little more familiar with this story. The news was posted on Facebook on Tuesday morning, this very morning, by Edgar's Mission Farm Sanctuary, the Australian Animal Center that had cared for Frosty since he arrived with a disabling bacterial infection in his spine that caused him not to be able to walk.
Aww.
The autopsy revealed that Frosty's spinal column was riddled with abscesses that refused to... but he refused to acknowledge them, and the strength and determination of the little guy, he... forged forward, and actually he walked very well. They had a little wheelchair apparatus made for him, and he walked with his front two hooves. Mm-hmm. Frosty had captured the hearts of many after a video of him using a wheelchair to help him walk, take his first few steps, went viral last month. So he was a young little goat, but
poor baby.
Little kid did what he wanted to.
Little kid, that's correct.
Yeah, his lot in life wasn't good, but he made the best of it, apparently.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet, Frosty.
Yes.
Aww. Still dead.
Still dead.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Frosty. Yep.
Bye, Frosty.
Took the wheelchair to the sky.
With a corn cob pipe and a button nose. Wrong, Frosty?
Wrong one. Wrong.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
He dies every winter, though. That shit's getting old.
You know, you're
running out of sympathy.
TV.
He dies every winter, bitch.
Happy birthday!
It's like fucking Les Miserables over there.
In the winter. It's cold. You're snowy.
They're selling her teeth and her carrots. Jesus Christ. Fucking tragedy.
Oh my God. How did I never see a video of Frosty? I'm watching it.
Oh, you're watching it right there. You are
Katie. Really, you're Archimedes June. You have her computer.
Look at that.
I know, right? Totally.
He's not as fast as the other goats, but he gets there.
being in the wheelchair. Yeah,
he's a good mud runner, though. You need him in a puddle of mud.
Oh, and then he got rid of the wheelchair and he tries to walk with little stiff legs.
He learned how to walk. Yeah.
Oh, and he's dead now. I can't watch anymore. Bye,
Basti. She's going to get to the end of the video soon.
No, I
don't. It doesn't show the death.
It doesn't show my follower.
By the way,
you
can go to our Facebook page. I put a link to the story there as well. I mean, I'm sure if you just Google
goat. If you want
to
watch a goat die, Facebook.com. / the show with Clayton McKee.
Frosty the snow goat.
Watch goat die.
Oh,
it's a YouTube sensation.
Well, I figured that our...
It's sad that he had a viral infection and the video went viral.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's dead.
The irony. He lives on.
Oh, the irony.
Through a virus. It's hard to use irony correctly, but I manage.
Oh, well played. I figured with our teacher friends that... Yay. And our hookup to Missouri.
We always have a hookup.
That it would make sense to talk about the fact that armed Missouri teachers will have 90% accuracy, firearms instructors promise.
Yeah, same about the other 10%.
Good.
It hits a kid.
Good to know.
And not the goat.
We're gonna send our kids to school there.
You got 90-10 chance.
Yeah, done. Exactly.
Do you feel lucky today? Do you feel lucky?
Punk?
Here you go. It's tricky math. Shooter comes in a room. You got a 30% chance of dying from the shooter. Teacher picks up a gun. 10% chance of dying.
Which odds would you rather take? Yeah. I mean, really.
My favorite part is actually...
A bullet traveling
is,
at the
is about the bullets, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if one bullet is shot by a teacher...
During science.
Yeah, use that shit in one fucking word problem. And a train leaves Albuquerque.
And the shooter's on Adderall and he hasn't been able to focus in about 4 fucking days.
Or he's on Tiazepam and hasn't slept in...
How is this statistic?
Wow.
What?
How's the Manny Shevitz there, honey?
Well, insane. How is the statistic differ if a teacher is significantly hungover, as we usually are?
And you're an educator.
There's
that's
that.
Good.
Now, they have not factored those things in yet
We should do a test. I won't shoot a gun,
we
but I'll get drunk.
We should do a test here and now. Let's do a test.
Well, as long as we have these bullets, maybe, because, basically, we've got that 90% accuracy thing. Well, the school districts have already paid $17,500 each to have... 2 trained staffers, right?
And like nobody knows who they are, right? They're like,
no idea.
They're like air marshals on the
exactly.
plane.
Oh, they're anonymous.
So,
anonymous.
You guys drinking the same
Enjoying the Manischewitz, yeah.
Yeah, ding ding.
So they're going to receive pay in addition to their regular salary.
Shut the fuck up.
All of a sudden, she's on board.
Shut the fuck up.
Somebody's awake.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Shield Solutions founder, who's the one training these people, but not super well, told the paper the teachers needed to be armed because school shooters would take out, quote, soft targets like security guards first, and law enforcement could not respond to the threats quickly enough.
That's true.
Is that a way to say the security guards are fat?
Well, maybe.
Because normally they sit around,
Okay, but if the gun doesn't function correctly, is the teacher's pay docked? Because, kids all have to...
Shelled out to their families because they're dead. I don't know.
But, I have to make sure all my kids learn regardless of whether or not they can read, so...
Could be.
So,
we're going to find that out.
Oh,
if the kids can't recite the Second Amendment verbatim, does the teacher still get paid?
Or does the teacher get to shoot
them? Yeah.
Or get close to them.
Whatever. But you're exactly right, Al. The identity is concealed like air marshals on a plane. This person, this Martin, says, how many hijackings have we had since 9/11? Point well taken. So,
how many hijackings did we have before 9/11, fucktard?
Exactly. Well, at least 3. So vowed, this Don Crowley, who's a training supervisor, vowed that his students would have an accuracy of this 90 to 95% at the end of 5 days of training.
Oh, 95%.
Five days of training, yeah.
Right? And teachers who aren't at least 90% don't get to graduate. So that's good news. An effort to make sure that the wrong students don't get shot...
The wrong students don't get shot. Now we want the right students to get shot.
Teachers will be using a special type of bullet that's intended to lodge inside the soft tissue of the first body it hits.
Shut up.
Okay, carry the one. Plus the minus.
So nope. Missouri, welcome to Alabama.
Right. So,
welcome to the Deep South.
I was a little taken aback by that. So basically, the people that are opposed to it kind of have a good point. So they'd be asking school officials, trained as educators, to make quick transition from teacher to SWAT member, arrive on the scene, assess the situation, overcome the severe nervousness that naturally accompanies a deadly force incident, take immediate action before blood is shed. It's a bit more than you can cover in a typical teacher in service.
I have so many thoughts in my head right now. Like now I can't even make them practice? Happen. Yeah. Like, what if there's no shooting in the school and the teacher doesn't need the gun, do they still get the extra stipend?
Of course.
Of course they do.
And is it a yearly stipend or is it just once for 1 to 5 days of training?
Are you moving to Missouri?
And what? Kind of also, I tend to believe that.
It's coming to Arizona.
I tend to believe that less guns are better than more guns, but I think that I might be.
You sound very union when you're talking about this.
You know what? You know what? And I teach Common Core because it makes kids gay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, well, Bill Maher, now that Elizabeth, what's her dick, is gone. Bill Maher went back on The View to a friendly panel, and he was asked about this thing about Missouri, and he was like, you know, we're so, like, fucked up over the Second Amendment that until we say you can say less guns, then sure, arm somebody else. Like, gunfire is gunfire. Like, maybe you'll shoot somebody, and there's somebody, like...
Maybe you'll hit the right target.
It's like one... What is it? One
a
week. What are they saying
chance.
Now? It's one a week since...
It's been one a week since Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook. Right. And sometimes more, and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Even the statistics that they're giving... Hard on like say, really,
nice.
Like, the fact checker
hard
went
to...
I can't remember which if it was HuffPost did a fact check to see if it was a really left-leaning group that gave the statistics, and they're like... They're actually underrepresenting.
Yeah, it's an underrepresented number.
Like, you're actually not. If they need to count more things, and so Bill Maher was like, seriously, he's like, we're gun happy. So until we fix gun happy, then I guess you gotta arm somebody. And I don't have a dog in the hunt. You know what I mean? Like, even all my nieces are out of school. Sure. So, you know, go nuts. But Friday, Barbara Walters comes out of retirement to speak to...
It didn't last nearly long enough.
No, but because he requested her, the shooter...
She's like the Brett Favre.
The shooter in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The father, who was the one won't acknowledge the son's name, only talks about the victims, acknowledges it was a mental health issue when they were on their way to get the kid when they heard on the news that there was a shooting and figured it was him. Mm. He's requested Barbara Walters interview him. He'll only grant her the interview. So ABC had to pull her out of the retired goats.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to hear from somebody who acknowledges, we didn't know our son had guns. We knew he had a mental health problem, and the day we realized, we got this letter, shit's going to hit the storm, we were 90 minutes away. So there is a thing about, should they have called somebody and did a well check? Like, go find our kid.
Yeah, but they did.
Right, and everybody missed it.
Yeah.
So even if you do all the right things.
Exactly. That's
who
the
fucking
scary
knows?
Part.
At this point, we're so fucking nuts with guns.
Yep. Did you see the thing out of Jersey today? I don't know if it's today, but there are these smart guns that are supposed to only... go off when the owner is there's ways to test if it's the owner that's shooting
it. Biometrics,
yeah,
so they run your finger right.
Except that in New Jersey, there's a old law, and maybe somebody who saw the story can give me more specifics, better than statistics. that New Jersey passed a law that if there is a smart gun available in the United States anywhere, no matter what, all other guns are illegal in New Jersey. So no one will start selling these smart guns because then New Jersey would have no more guns at all except for people who had smart guns.
Oh, that's...
Also...
Right, so if there's a way to defend yourself with a gun that you bought that only you can use, then every other gun is illegal. So that would make...
So the one person who buys the first gun...
The big thing is if you have friends that are Republicans and all they say is Obama's after our guns... But as you do it, then you have to realize that gun ownership, gun buyers have been on the rise considerably, and we're at the highest point ever. While they're still putting the memes up about, vote Republican because that evil communist is coming for your guns. It's just not fucking happening. Yeah. But I gotta Google that because that smart guns idea is really good. That you can have any gun you want to. It just has to be fingerprinted for you. Mm-hmm. Only you can fire it, and then that's a brilliant solution.
Except
his
what if you're
are right now.
No, that really
that.
Is.
No,
you can have
is.
Whatever gun you
Except
want to, but
what
only
if you're
you
a
can
shooter
fire it.
In a school, and then the teacher lost their gun that's biometric to them, and then they get
then
the shooter's gun, and
then you shouldn't lose your gun. That's bad gun. The bad gun ownership. If you lose your gun,
but if you only lose it 90% of the time, I think
it's good work, babe. It's good work.
But and we talked about it last week. The priest that got shot was shot by his own gun.
Right.
Yeah.
He brought the gun to the pipe fight. And the pipe guy wrestled out of his hand. There's, I mean, there's yeah. just
sorry.
It's crazy. All it's all ugly, but
mm-hmm. yeah, there's none of it's
none
good.
Of it's pretty, and there's no point in arguing about it because the battle's lost.
No. I know.
You know, we're never going to have any kind of responsible gun laws.
We are wrapping up hour one. We have a couple more hours.
Moving on.
Al just saw a picture I posted or tagged him in on Facebook. We've hour one's over. It's in the bag. We got two more coming up at you. A couple moments really away from Al giving us our drinking word for the night. We're going to wrap up headlines.
Well chosen too.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, most all of them are. Also, we have continuing with some headlines. Al's got entertainment. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Don't forget, Thoughtful Vulgarity comes up in about the last half hour of the show. If you've got a question for us, hit us in the chat room. We'll be back in just seconds on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hello again, everybody. 8 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. I think we should call that just in honor the Joe DeGanzik memorial, not memorial because he's not dead. The Joe DeGanzik,
I'm not dead.
The Joe DeGanzik atomic clock, because that's who always loved to have the atomic clock.
We named a cat after him in my neighborhood, so he's got the memorial.
No, oh. Yeah. Well, but he's not dead.
But no. I have to point out to wine drinkers in yes, the Al. Valley, if you've made the choice to drink red wine in the summer, our room temperature is not the right room temperature. This wine was not that great, and I threw it in the fridge for about 35 minutes to get it down to like 60 degrees. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's spectacular good. Now. It's so good.
It's a lovely
so
one.
So if you're in Arizona,
it really is
go
delicious.
Room temperature.
Like
chills,
delicious.
Chills, just a little. Just
well,
slightly.
Room temperature in everywhere
it's about
else.
95 right now.
But here, right. Even in this room, it's 80, for God's sakes, and I'm not sure that that's accurate.
But this was just borderline when I opened it, but now it's just spectacular.
It's love spectacular.
Delightful.
And it's called, something about seasons. It's force of seasons it's called of force love. Of nature. Tempranillo, and if you can find it somewhere, it is delicious. It's reasonably priced because I bought it.
It is the beginning of
beginning. If only I could carry a gun at school. I'd have a stipend enough to pay for it.
Beginning of hour two, like I said, sitting with me is Aaron Henderson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. Katie June is out this week. She had some prior engagements of an upcoming event. It's a fundraiser
she's
that we have
famous.
Here in Arizona. We call it Dancing with the Bars. Comes up the last Sunday in July. I'm a host of it. Katie June will be there with us, and she's doing some videography to do with that tonight. I'm not exactly sure what all that entails, but Katie will be back with us next week, so fear not for that. At this time, though, it is time for us to play our legal drinking disclaimer before somebody gets pissed at us.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, in honor of my search for BBC, our word is bollocks.
Bollocks.
Oh, I was going to use chortle earlier.
Oh, that's a good one.
Chortle's a good one.
Bollocks.
Bollocks.
Because, you know, and you know, to me, what chortle makes me think of? Will and Grace, when Grace is trying to decide what she calls a old boyfriend back, and Karen does it, and she calls, and she goes, "Hi, this is Karen Walker, assistant to Grace Adler," and he goes, "Ho, ho, ho," and she hangs up, she goes, "Oh, no, honey, he's got the ho, 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 chortle." He got fat.
Well, Buddy early listened to posts the other day of all these words like falderal and balderdash. All these words.
Balderdash.
He wished to use in sentences. I'm like, oh, honey, we're using those every week on the show.
Everyone uses it. Listen.
I said, that's just funny. Bollocks. Well, it means balls. It's a term for testicles. But it means they use it as like nonsense,
bollocks,
or bullshit.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bollocks.
Because last week we had cod slop and balderdash. So this week, are we doing all BBC words? Is that what we're doing?
No, this week was just, somebody said it somewhere and I just loved
and
it.
And can you confirm the correct spelling for me?
It's B-O-L-L-O-C-K-S.
That's exactly
it's not
what
A-C-K-S,
I,
that's it's O-C-K-S?
It's, yeah, it's, I
that's
think
what I put, because I'm putting that in our little deal so we can actually do this and I can super over. Look at that, there is our drinking word for those of you playing along at home. And if you're not, well.
Bollocks.
Fuck yeah.
Bollocks.
Continuing on our headlines, well, this story made me laugh today when I heard it on the radio. As timely as today's news, a man whose mummified remains were found in a manhole last month in Tucson.
I love the word manhole. I just got to tell
you. It's the name of a bar in LA.
Well, of course it is. But just when you're driving down the street, you're like, oh, I just went over a manhole.
Oh, thank God that manhole's covered. I'd have fallen right in.
Mm-hmm. So, that's what they said about me.
A man whose mummified remains were found in a manhole last month in Tucson, Arizona, most likely died of electrocution, an autopsy report states. Now, remember the line, most likely died of electrocution.
Most likely.
The body was found with a pair of bolt cutters in one hand in an underground high-voltage utility access point with cut copper wires near the remains. Most likely died of electrocution. I shouldn't be laughing, but it's. Can you just see where he's got the cutters? Dead. Cut wires. Probably died of electrocution. Yeah.
90% chance, yeah.
A report from the office of the Pima County Medical Examiner stated that he most likely died of electrocution.
And if not, it's just bollocks.
The man died apparently between 12 and 24 months ago. His remains were found by the medical examiner.
This is like two mummy stories in 2 weeks.
I know, it's weird. Crews working near, I guess it's called Tank Verde Road in
Tank
Verde Loop.
Yep.
Back in May.
It's actually Tanka Verde, but okay. I'm sure somebody tried to anglicize it.
Did anyone just hear that noise? Was that your phone?
That's my phone.
May 19th of last month is when they found the body, when they opened the manhole.
Yeah, they did.
There was an identification card on the 51-year-old man, but the medical examiner is awaiting results on DNA to verify that that is actually the name of the deceased. Now, here's, again, another thing that's sad. Okay, so the one guy last week, it was a man who was kind of a loner, moved into a house, hung himself in the closet. 5 years? Is that what the determination was?
You're looking at me like I hung him. I didn't do it.
No.
I'm just, 5 years.
That's bollocks. You didn't hang anyone.
So I'm saying, the saddest part of that to me is nobody missed him. But they brought in the brother who he was estranged from to identify him. This guy had been gone for anywhere from a year to 2 years. Nobody got any idea.
Nobody
went looking for him.
And nobody noticed the power was out.
Right. So what are these?
They were cut wire.
The clean copper clappers were cut.
The clean copper clappers.
So I'm trying to. Somewhere in Tucson, there was a light that was a little dimmer than usual
or
something.
It sounds like a lot of lights were dimmer than usual.
I just requested a ding. I love it.
I'm just trying to figure out. Right. The wires were cut. Something wasn't working.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't decide, well, let's go look, Bob.
No,
fuck it.
Did you pay
you know
the bill?
That means that someone related to me spiritually was there. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, right. It's
meanwhile,
fine. There's power in the other room, right? Let's go over there.
So, in the meantime, what they've done is they've run a 25-foot.
If it's after he's ready for bed,
then he's like,
I don't fucking care.
So my guess is what they did is they put a Band-Aid on a broken arm. So one half of the building's got power. They ran a 25-foot extension cord over so the copier would run. Meanwhile, this guy is mummifying under the building. Sadly, we can't make copies. Oh, we're up. We're good.
We're good.
Collating. We're good.
We're making copies. So Harrison is drinking La Granja, which it's from a product of Spain, which I think might be the word
for Spanish peacock
because, yeah, it's a Spanish wine with a peacock.
Is that an ostrich or a peacock? They all have beaks. They'll all
Ooh,
peck
the
your face
fuck
off.
Knows. I want to say it's a peacock because it's blue.
See. But
maybe it's an ostrich.
Peck
yeah, an ostrich.
Off.
Maybe.
Let me see.
So Marty, so watch it.
That's
it's not a video.
It doesn't matter.
That actually
I'm
does look like
scared
a peacock
of
actually.
Birds.
It is an iPhone.
Yeah.
They do not
Grandma.
Fly out of them. No, I'm just like,
I unfriend you.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
It's, oh my God.
You have to admit, though.
That's the best part.
I will
when
fast forward. I do
her
not.
Cup on that.
On the disc, whatever you call it anymore, CD drive.
Oh, she sets her tea on the CD ROM holder.
I absolutely will not fast forward through that commercial.
No.
It's kind of like the Norfolk Southern conjunction.
What's your function?
I cannot fast forward to that because I like it too much.
Oh, I love it. When she says, I put all my pictures on my wall, and the woman goes, oh, I like that one.
Yeah. And the woman's just looking back and forth like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Saved all kinds of time. Yep.
Oh, God.
That is a good commercial. Yeah, it really is funny. Favorite. Go ahead, Marn.
Well, you'd think a free library would be a good thing.
Wouldn't you?
You would.
Wouldn't you?
And when I say free library, obviously we can go into the library, we can get a library card.
I had one.
I have one.
Marn still has one. I buy books.
And so, you know, it's this lovely idea. Well, this 9-year-old was in
I heard
Kansas.
About this story. Go ahead. I heard about this.
So crazy to me. So Spencer Collins is 9 years old. And he made a homemade library in his front yard.
Oh, like a lemonade stand.
Kind of like a lemonade stand, yeah. Right. And he's not even selling anything.
Look,
he's
giving them away.
Yeah, he's giving things away. So he wanted...
Do people need a card for this library?
Well, I'm getting there. So he decided to open this little front yard library and share books with his neighbors because that's what he loves, is to read. He wanted to share this.
Aww.
So he had, you know, he had little books like... what did he have? A Wrinkle in Time.
Madeline.
The BFG. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, you know, he had all these little books to give away. Well, he was shut down by the city.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Shut.
Where's my...
Bollocks.
Oh, where's my dramatic...
Bollocks, I say.
Bollocks, that is. The city came in and closed down the bookstore.
He was violating zoning ordinance.
Where are we?
Kansas.
Oh,
Leawood. Not in Kansas anymore. Leawood, Kansas.
I'm sorry, son. You've got to shut down.
Yeah. We don't believe in book learning here.
Not here.
Ain't no reading being done on the front porch.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so yeah, his free little library shut down.
Now, how long do they... Does the story say how long he'd actually been open?
A month.
A whole month. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I want to know so many details.
Well, then shut up and listen
to
her. You've never used that line before, have you?
Nope.
2 years you've been together?
Three.
Wow, way to say it with love, babe.
No. Three.
Feels longer.
For those of you just joining us, Marnie and her wife are here in the studio with us.
Maybe that came
Jesus. Maybe. A little bit.
I didn't mean
want to get this
long
over with?
We worked together 6 months.
It feels longer.
Yeah.
And also, just
that's one of my favorite.
And just
Karen
keeping
quote.
Score at home, Al and I are not in a relationship with anybody else or each other.
Fair point.
In 2009, this apparently started with a gentleman named Todd Bull of Western Wisconsin. And he had built a mailbox-like structure that held books and
your neighborhood has that. Your neighborhood has that.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know. Front yard with a sign that says take a book, return a book.
Mm-hmm.
So these little libraries have since kind of popped up around the world. So on Mother's Day, Collins put out his own little free library, and a month later, his parents received a letter from officials saying the library violated the city's zoning ordinance.
Fuck you.
And needed to be removed or they'd be fined. It prohibits people from having structures on their property that are detached from the physical house. So they're saying they can't treat one person differently.
What kind of structure did this kid build?
Wasn't it a crate, like an apple crate? It wasn't.
No. He had like a little.
I thought it was a smaller.
Look at this. I mean, what an adorable little kid. Go ahead and pass that around. Like he had a little library.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
I didn't realize it was that big.
I'm going to send this kid books.
But I mean, basically, it's like a little, just a little lean-to-y thing.
It's like what's in your neighborhood. You have, Candy Cane Lane has them too, where you go down and they have like, you just take
books. Oh, for
the
love of fuck.
Right.
We're going to send this kid books.
It's not a shed.
We are going to send this kid books.
He doesn't retail to the city.
What are the fines? Does it say what the-
It does not say, and I was going to look
that's when he should go. People should send him in to pay the fines. Fuck them. We're going to
pay the fine every month.
Kind of like when her going into the abortion clinic.
That's right.
I'm to donate I'm money. Give you a dollar. Just make that clear to the new
every
listeners.
Loser that's on the sidewalk. I'm giving you a dollar.
Yep. Well, they said that they can't just ignore two complaints they had received because they really? Like
two complaints.
Fucking people called the city because a kid
because they
giving
like
out
the
books.
Library.
Gladys Kravitz.
Apparently, we need to look this little guy up on Facebook.
Tell me his name again.
Rallying. His name is Spencer Collins.
On it.
Oh, he's
and
a reporter.
He's my new hero.
It's Spencer's
Spencer
little
Collins.
We're going live
in
to Spencer Collins. He's at the library.
From the lean-to in Kansas.
Spencer's Little Free Library,
the library.
Is his Facebook page.
That's
and he's rallying support and studying municipal ordinances in an effort to get the city council to amend its code.
Oh my God!
So good
how
for Spencer Collins,
he?
But yeah,
I love him. And they're doing San Francisco.
And
has,
look, he has a little bench. You can sit and read your little book, and it's adorable.
Sorry, if you would like to go to,
he's going
to
make the city his little bench. Is what he's going to do.
Littlefreelibrary.org.
Org.
Littlefreelibrary.org. It's apparently like a movement.
Oh.
All right, well,
Spencer, or just in general?
There are a whole lot of structures. It says, what is a little free library? It's a take a book, return a book gathering place where neighbors share their favorite literature and stories. And it's all kinds of these little things are everywhere.
Yeah, but Spencer's.
Spencer's got shut down because Spencer's neighbors are assholes. The end.
All right,
Spencer's neighbors, bollocks to you.
All right, so everybody in the chat room, somebody find a link to his page and put the link
and
up
I'm
on
looking.
The. Yeah,
yeah
on the,
I'm trying to. Yeah.
She'll get there.
And that way, because not everybody's on Facebook.
Right.
Well, it's true. They're not.
If they're in the chat room right now and you put the link in the chat room, they can find it.
Right, absolutely.
You
know, click right on
it. The link works better if you go to them.
It Katie, says Spencer's.
Not this guy.
Wrong guy.
Not that guy. Oh, God, that guy creeps me out.
Remember?
Oh,
he looks like
again,
Ron Ford.
The danger of Google. Remember
all you
where
put
ass
in
clowns went.
Spencer's Little Free Library. So once you find that, if you know how to.
Oh, I found it. Ding, ding. 23,096 likes.
Wow. Good for him.
Good for him.
And now it's 97, bitches.
And now it's 98, bitches.
Yeah. All right,
99 problems and I'm not one. Hold not on. One.
Marnie sent me this story earlier today. While you guys are looking for that, I'm going to find... I've got two sound bites here. Let's see if I can find them. Okay, got it. Marnie, and I took the story because I wasn't sure if it was for me or for you, but I decided to run with it.
If you're going
to
do the guns for Jesus.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
no,
good.
I'm not.
Because I was going to cry.
90%?
The headline of the story is enough, really. Indiana woman beats off intruder with back scratcher. I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know you could do that with a back scratcher.
Absolutely.
A woman in Indiana took matters into her own hands when she realized a man who'd forced his way into her home was not armed. She beat him with a back scratcher, she said.
I just added it to the...
When he said, I don't have a gun, I went like... This bam 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 bam. I thought she was bam bam for a second. Well, here let's just let her describe it to you in her own words.
Yay. When he said I don't have a gun, I went like this and bam bam, and I bammed all the way to where I saw the wrench. I picked the wrench up, which is this little baby, and I went out this back door and I bam four times till he got right to the old back door and went out.
Oh, he just went. Apparently, he just left. Well, now Carney says the man demanded guns but ran away after she beat the hell out of him with the back scratcher beating. The police are still looking for the suspect.
And I looked at him. I said, "Do you have a gun?" And he said, "No." And that I don't know what happened. I snapped. I don't think he expected an overweight woman on oxygen to attack him. I really don't.
So I don't know that anyone does.
Breaking news.
Oh, breaking.
Breaking
oh,
news.
Hey, oh,
maybe
wait.
Look at the old folks home because she has COPD. Hang she
on.
Has lung cancer.
We have to breaking news sounder.
Well, and it's not really breaking news, but all you got to do is look for some poor little fucker with a limp and a bump on his head because
did they find him?
No.
Oh.
Because, a limp well, and a bump on his well, head. That narrows it down.
Nice hump. Thanks.
What hump?
A lovely lady.
Nice knocker.
A lovely lady hump.
She has COPD. She has lung cancer. She's overweight. She's on oxygen.
Right.
Look for someone with a limp that has a bump on their head from bam.
In that
bam,
little city.
Bam. Correct.
Bam, bam, he's bam, still bam, bam.
Going down the...
That cracked me up. She's all bam, 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 bam.
Has to be at the old folks' home.
Now, if they had the guns that were biometric smart guns, then we wouldn't have to worry about people charging into this house and asking for guns.
He didn't have a gun.
He wanted guns, but she couldn't have given him a gun because...
That's right.
She has an oxygen machine that sounds like she's making keys in the kitchen.
I kind of think she does not have a 90% success rate.
She had 100% success. They're beating the shit out of her back.
With a back scratcher.
And a big long wrench.
I personally, just a thought that I have, but back scratchers I think should be outlawed.
If they're biometric, though.
They're very dangerous.
You know what? I have a goddamn amendment right to that shit.
Yeah. A back scratcher?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the 49.
I really like that back scratcher.
A shower
fever.
Massager and a back and a sour, scratcher.
They're called personal massagers.
I know.
I have a
shower
girlfriend.
Shower massager.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend.
It's on a bullet.
That was when I was
one.
Married.
I realize I said the name of the song wrong, so you were looking at me because I said back scratch fever, not cat scratch fever.
That's right. Bollocks.
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 Ryer.
So we have one more little clip, if you could, and no pun intended.
Let's see if I can figure out how to get to this.
Can
you tell me the end point right quick? The time of the end point?
Like 25 seconds in, and then you can go to like a minute 20. So it's almost a minute long.
Okay.
Do you want me to go ahead and give background?
No, go ahead. Yeah, go.
So we're doing Guns for Jesus.
Aren't we all?
Guns for Jesus. Apparently in Joplin, Missouri.
I was appalled.
Back. I can believe it.
My hometown in Missouri. I was appalled that this is where this fucktard comes from.
I talk about your douchebag preacher, because that's what he is. He's a pastor.
He was
a pastor.
Oh, because we expect all good things from them.
Yeah, but this is different. This YouTube video of this douchebag in his, he had a Bass Pro Sports hat on and this shirt. And
careful, my dad shops there.
But it doesn't matter. Not a douchebag like...
No, my dad's not a douchebag.
I have no problem with people who shop at Bass Pro Shops at all.
But every single thing about him...
paints the picture.
Right. There wasn't anything that screamed, I'm a man of
Jesus. The cloth,
yeah.
Right.
So anyway, he's facing criticism because they raffled off two AR-15s during Father's Day celebration in order to increase attendance and get more people to follow Jesus.
Yes.
15, to a lucky father on Father's Day. And the overwhelming response to this has been incredible.
Just
get
drunk.
So it was actually kind of more than what we was anticipating.
We
just did what we do well, and we responded to the overwhelmingness of the situation.
Whelmingness.
And so we thought, crap.
We's not educated either.
Ticked. And how are we going to do this? Are we giving it away first experience,
swear to God,
second experience?
Sure.
And the truth is, we're not telling you. But what we are going to tell you right now is that we're
really
going to give away two of these stinking guns. You know why? Because we can, and we're awesome like that.
You can't. It's illegal.
And we actually have a lot of good friends that stepped up to the plate in this. And so, you know, we are giving away a Smith & Wesson AR-15 to somebody. But that really is just kind of like breadcrumbs. Like, you can kill a weak zombie with that thing. But if you really want to double tap a zombie,
you really
style,
want it.
You're going to want our grand prize. And our grand prize, you ready for this? Is a Black Rain AR-15 from our good friends down at Black Rain Ordnance right here in Neosho, Missouri. And so these guys make incredible weapons. I actually own one myself. It is my favorite
Shocker.
Weapon, period, hands down.
Give me a goddamn break!
And at 2 minutes, it becomes even worse. Basically, he says,
if you want to double tap a zombie.
Double tap a zombie. There you have it. His Facebook, a Facebook posting on this Ignite Church Facebook page asks, Dads, you earn an entry to yourself, each child you have, and if you bring your dad to church.
Can you back that up?
Those that
an entry for each child you have?
That's right.
Oh, you get an entry for each child.
Yeah, you get an entry to win the guns.
Well, those gays, they're shit out of luck.
Oh,
I
can't imagine.
I don't see those gays going to that church.
Kidding. No. Yeah, kidding.
No. Don't miss this. So the YouTube, they did this YouTube video advertising, this promotion, and Heath Mooneyham, that's who you were listening to, Heath Mooneyham promised
of course.
About the killing of the zombies, the double tapping a zombie. This gun is the Lamborghini.
Right.
AR-15. So it says, get your butts to church. That was part of it. Do you have that part?
I don't know. I'm starting at 2 minutes, so we're...
I believe that's in there.
All right, here we go. Back. Oh, we hit the wrong... Oh, what did I do? I hit the wrong... Hey, what did I hit the wrong... I've used the wrong mouse. I'm terribly sorry.
Get your butts to church. If you're late, don't cry to me that you're a pansy and you cannot set your alarm. All right? You're a big boy. You got big balls between your legs. You're a dad, right? Get up, set your alarm. Don't be a wuss. Get to church. Register... because we're giving away a Smith & Wesson AR-15, and then the grand prize is to one lucky dude. You're going to be the proud owner of a Black Rain AR-15 this Sunday. I also want to say that some of you might be feeling screwed right now because you're like, I did exactly what you said, and I came to church last Sunday, and I signed up, and yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what? You're awesome, so you get to sign up again, so you get to double your chances to win.
Why not double
them? So you got twice the opportunity
they do this
as
every
all these
week?
Other chumps that decided to
Father's
stay home
Day.
Last week.
This is Father's Day.
So, good looking out, kid. It's awesome. Keep doing the right thing. You make America proud, and
listen
Uncle
to this.
Sam's proud, and Jesus just had a little tear because he's so proud of you. Awesome. Keep coming to church.
You've got to be kidding me with this guy.
Bollocks. Is All right, where's our ass hat of the week?
Is this real?
Because we have a new nominee. Yeah.
Is this real?
Yes.
The ass hat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he told the Joplin Globe, we're just dudes. Adding, if we can get more people to follow Jesus, I'll give away 1,000 guns. I don't care.
I cannot imagine.
Hold on, it's not there. I'll give
it. The saddest part is, and obviously I represent a group of people completely different from my hometown. This guy, I almost sent a text to Duke to find out if he knew who this guy was.
Isn't that something though? The hey guys, don't give him crap. Acts 21:3 says Jesus was open armed with his new fellows. With his new followers, and gave them the Holy Spirit fishing and AK-47s for passage to the light.
So in the chat room,
it. Jesus had a tear.
In the chat room, Meowcow says, "What the hell did I just listen to?" And Richard says, "Some idiot, I think. I'm not sure. I'm on bottle 4 out of 6 of my 7th beer. I'm so lost."
I'm just saying bollocks. Because
Richard, I want to move by you when we move to Canada.
Well
End
done.
Story.
Oh, that
well
is.
Done.
That's insanity.
Keep it classy, Christian.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Come on.
I don't even know what to do. I can't even process that.
And it gets even better because
does
he get a stipend? Does that preacher get a stipend for giving away guns?
Only if it gives away
90%. No, for making Jesus cry.
Bollocks.
He made Jesus cry.
Ooh, Richard drinking
in March,
bollocks.
The Kentucky Baptist Convention announced that it would point people to Christ by giving away guns at Second Amendment celebrations hosted across the state. Does that happen?
Yes.
Second Amendment celebrations?
Who would I donate money to for those people on the street?
Just give them back to the kid that reads. I mean, seriously.
We'll just buy more books for Spencer.
The more Spencer reads and travels and goes around the world, he'll be like, this is fucked.
Absolutely. But isn't that, when I saw it today, I'm like,
how did you come across
did
that?
It was on Think Progress, I believe. Isn't that?
I thought maybe you were Googling my hometown just to see if you could find it. Fucktard.
No, that's where. And when I sent it to you, I did not pay any attention yet because I was so astounded.
I like you send me
videos.
We've made up an ass hat of the week award.
Well, no, she has. Them.
I have those. I do not have them with me today.
I don't know.
Well, good. We have a makeshift ass hat of the week.
I need another piece of paper to write his name, please.
Okay. Well,
we got no. Well, the
we have them. I thought I had them here,
but I don't have any blank ones.
Okay,
this will suffice for now.
Yeah, just write his name along the bottom. We'll add him to the list for. Okay. And then, but we have to be ready. So
what's
somebody's got to do
the.
Well, I can print these if somebody.
No, but for the end of the year, we have to have the stories ready for when we do our ass head of
the
year. Like, there's got to.
Jesus Christ!
We got to do brackets like hottest guy.
I'm with you.
Hottest guy.
Are we
going to
get to the brackets and who's wearing a cup?
Yeah, that's a good call. I believe that I have that saved, so I'll send you the.
And I believe none of them are wearing a cup. To be quite honest,
No.
You got balls, don't you?
Big balls.
You're a dad. Oh. God.
Lord. All right. We got to move along right quickly. We got a couple more stories to get through. A Louisiana man went toe to toe with an 11-foot alligator, leaving him with 80 stitches in one hand, but he lived to tell the tale. Glenn Bonin. No.
Shut up.
No,
Bonin.
No, B-O-N-N, B-O-N-I-N, Bonin or Bonin. I don't know how he said it. Says,
He's still a bone-in chicken.
He says, quote, I've always been the kind of guy who learns the hard way. Well, no shit. Well, Bonin and three of his friends tried to move an alligator out of the way of a road just south of Sulphur, Louisiana. Bonin tells the story like this. We took our shirts off, threw it on the alligator's face, and we were going to come around from behind him and jump on him.
Oh, my God. Do this again. Do that again. I just want to hear it again. Please. Bollocks. Do it again. Please.
Okay.
Yes.
Where do you want me to start from?
From the part when you did the accent.
I'm telling a story. Okay, so Bonin, the guy who got 80 stitches in his hand, he tells a story like this. Well, we took our shirts off and we threw them on the gator's face, and then we was going to come around from behind and jump on it. Well, in the process of doing that, well, hell, he spun around and grabbed my hand seconds before we jumped on it. Well, out of nowhere, the gator snapped back at my hand and took it, and I said, sent me into a daze. I forgot everything. I felt like someone was pulling my arm out. He said, I thought I was about to lose something. In your fucking arm. It felt like it lasted forever when it happened, but it's just a split second. But whew, it felt like it lasted a long time.
You have changed ethnicities, regions, accents.
Don't care.
It's like the week that they did the thing and you and Katie were Wimbledoning when they did 72 different accents. Oh, my God, I love
each
it.
Each one was delightful.
Oh, my God, that was the best thing
crime
I've seen.
Crime scene footage.
And yes! Oh, my God.
I don't have a 911 call for this week, but I almost did one.
This is second barely to
now,
that.
Bonin admits...
Bonin.
Admits it was a bit of liquid courage. It made him think that he could move a gator. But
no!
But the somewhat graphic... But the somewhat graphic pictures of the aftermath show that liquid courage was no match for the gator. He actually did say in the end, I suggest you call wildlife and fisheries or call the sheriff. Call somebody. Stay in your vehicle. Do not try to play with them or move them, he advises. Leave it to the professionals.
Oh, well, that's good advice. Don't try to play with the gators in the road.
No.
How fucking stupid do you have to be to go up to the gator? Step one.
And the best
step two, stay there.
Flip him around. I'm going to flip him around.
Adding to the insult to injury, this whole thing, girlfriend in the car or truck videoed the whole goddamn thing.
Shut the fuck up.
The link is on our Facebook page.
Oh, my God, I have to watch this.
Go to it. Awesome. You can actually see the video where the gator snaps his hand. And it literally is just a split second.
That's good stuff.
Oh, my God. Marn?
That's good stuff. Well,
I'd like to add more dialects to the stories as we go along.
Please, please, please.
The Angry Beaver story might have one.
Wait, why is this story on Arizona Central?
All right, I just have to ask you, are you friends with this ass hat?
Which one?
Well, I hope he's not listening, whoever he is.
I can't read the name.
Don't say the name out loud.
Well, this is not fun. Secrets don't make friends, children.
I don't know.
Oh, you probably are.
I have to look it. Let me look that up. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue on. Carry on, my wayward son.
Well, I figured that...
my God, this poor gator.
Oh, Lord.
Fucking douchebags.
Poor gator. Only this one. Poor gator. I was with you with a goat, but come on. It's a gator.
Well, they're pulling him really hard.
Well, there you have it. I'm on my story now.
Sorry, babe. I figured
Al would have a...
I am not, Al, to answer response. Your question.
Thank God.
To this, I don't know if you had heard that rape is a coveted status and or something that should be repented.
Does anybody else want to ditch this world and start a new one? I'm done with this shit. Bollocks.
I have to, but apparently, according to ex-Washington Post columnist George Will.
I was hoping we would not go near this story.
Being a rape victim is now a coveted status that college women seek out.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to be raped.
I'm going to go. Because I'm caught up. Okay. So you talk. I'll come back and comment after I pee.
Okay.
Do you want to watch the video?
Why doesn't he just talk about baseball? Isn't that what he's good at?
No.
He's an ass and was.
He wrote a book about baseball.
I don't know.
20 years ago, I mean, though.
He also suggested that women claiming to be raped were delusional. He was considered the most influential writer in America at one point and now has been let go from the Washington Post. The column, according to the Post, was offensive and inaccurate, and we apologize for publishing it. But seriously, he had... all kinds of things in there about women and how this coveted status and that they were looking to get attention from getting raped. And at the same time, there was rape victims at Fundamentalist Christian College who say they were told to repent for their sins. I like the fact that the university is called BJU. It's in Greenville. So
that's funny.
You're
going to
tell me how you're
going to
laugh out of this.
What's the name of the college?
The Fundamentalist Christian College is called BJU. Bob Jones University.
Oh.
Anyway,
or something.
It's one of the most conservative Christian colleges in the country.
And it's not accredited in almost everything that it gives degrees in.
Correct.
Just like Oral Roberts University.
Yeah.
Right. And isn't that funny? Oral and BJ.
Atta girl.
Bollocks!
I like it. Anyway, staff members responded to allegations of rape at this Bob Jones University by telling rape victims they should repent for their sins. Katie Landry, who was raped by a coworker several times during the summer before she started attending Bob Jones, didn't tell anyone for several years. When she finally did, they told her that we have to find the sin in your life that caused your rape. The dean also asked her if she had done anything, quote, impure or ever smoked pot, because those things apparently will lead to rape. One student says her school counselor told her to ask her rapist for forgiveness. That sent me almost through the roof.
That's where you drew the line
No. But that, yeah. I have been in this position. So the idea of ever looking at him saying, you know, oh, I'm sorry. No. Which teaches, it's not the first time that the fundamentalist institution, which teaches a literal interpretation of the Bible and expels students for having premarital sex, has been exposed for this mishandling of sexual assault. In 2011, a Bob Jones trustee was forced to resign after allegations emerged that he had covered up a rape of a 15-year-old girl. He also made the girl apologize to her church congregation for being raped. They hired GRACE, which stands for Godly Response to Abuse in the Christian Environment, which is a metaphor. It's a consulting group that helps religious institutions review sexual assault policies.
They probably get a stipend.
Yeah, probably.
No shit.
Well, only if they get 90%.
It's the blame
right.
The victim. It's that yeah. Blame totally the
wait,
victim.
Wait.
What?
I have two things to say that I'm forgetting. The first one is, if the rapist and the rape victim are not married, does the rapist get kicked out of the church or just the rape victim? And number two, if the rapist fathers a child out of the rape, does he win the gun?
Okay, your first question is, in a patriarchal society, who do you think gets blamed and kicked out of the church?
She has to apologize and ask for forgiveness, so that therefore she also...
But the raper is legitimate, because he should. It's that culture of that new culture that Sarah Palin blame the victim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so
But the good thing is, the Washington Post is uber conservative, which I managed to not know until the late 90s when they started in on the Clinton thing. And they just went overboard on the Clinton scandal. It is a scandal, but whatever.
The blue dress, if you will.
You're talking about the HuffPost?
No, the Washington Post.
Washington, my bad.
And the Washington Post, uber conservative. And so, and then they were the champions of the Iraq war. And once I got their little jingle, and everyone says the New York Times is the liberal... The very liberal, very left-wing. The Washington Post is a counterbalance, so you need both, so you can't argue because, you know, whatever. So, but then they've been coasting along on this thing of, like, we're the balance, and we're, you know, we do our research, we make sure that we vet our stories, we don't do anything out to lunch. And then George Will, one of the worst toupees in history, if they're, like, this guy is...
There's George.
Yeah, I know him.
Oh,
I know him.
Yeah, and just one of the people that during the 2012 election, he was the one that kept quoting about the, oh, there's a feeling in the nation because they were putting gay ballots on state. Oh. So they thought they were going to win Minnesota. He's one of those fucktards.
Mm.
He's one of these guys. This guy is evil to the core. He's a little rotten fuck. Okay. And he finally showed his colors after all these years of being this, like, conservative, I look like a professor, no one's going to fuck with me. And I don't know what crawled up his ass.
Okay.
And the worst part is that the Washington Post for like a day was like, look what we got through. Right. And then it just started to rain shit in Washington.
And this
guy, who he's a CNN contributor. He's a Fox News contributor. He goes everywhere because everyone thinks, you know, he looks like a professor.
Sure.
He stands for all the wrong things, but they always whip him out as the counterpoint.
I'll put a fucking toupee on.
No,
he was with
ABC News forever.
Forever. Mm-hmm. He's evil. He's an evil little fuck that didn't show his colors. And, but you knew if you just kept your eye on him because of that little professorly glow, you just knew something was coming. And that whole rape culture of 2012. And now, you know, the whole thing with 2014 with the elections is just don't say rape.
Right, you're not saying that.
That's all they're saying to the Oh, and does somebody know what happened in Mississippi? Because the Mississippi election is really important today.
Yeah, it was.
We just got a push update.
Yeah, we got to find out who won that Mississippi.
How do I find my push updates down?
So anyways,
so you're saying his true colors came out in 12?
No, right now with this thing.
Yeah. No, okay,
so but this is the guy that
incumbent Thad Cochran is. Beat Chris McDaniel.
Oh my God! Okay, no. So Chris McDaniel on this same deal, story. Chris McDaniel
also
is
this says has beaten.
Yeah,
it ha- they has they have beat they
They've
has
beaten,
beaten
him. They beat him.
Has beaten.
Yeah, but regardless of semantics, they were sending out.
Oh, now you want to say who cares about semantics?
No, but this story is truly, 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 truly important for this year because this KKK funded racist pig.
Yeah.
They were bringing out Democrats to vote in a Republican primary because it's an open primary. You can vote for either party. They were appealing to black people to please please, please let this be a fair election with a normal, halfway decent Republican against the Democratic challenger. Do not let this guy win. And they were interviewing people, black people, all day long. They were going to the polls to be like, whatever happens in Mississippi, the fuck that won can't win. Like, this can't be the image of Mississippi. This guy is pure, solid evil,
Chris
that
McDaniel.
Won. Chris McDaniel.
Yeah.
But they knew he was going to win because he's Tea Party backed. They've been doing a smear campaign, and in the last-ditch effort, they've been going around to the black community like, we know you're Democratic, we know you won't vote for him later, but your choices are between two halfway decent humans or this fuck. And they lost. They couldn't beat it. The Tea Party won. I mean, this is a big fucking deal. If this guy gets through, that he's like Ted...
No. The incumbent. The incumbent's not the... The incumbent...
Is the good guy.
Thad Cochran. He won.
Oh, you said it the other way.
No. Thad Cochran has beaten.
Oh, thank God. So now it'll probably... The bad news is it'll probably stay Republican Mississippi.
Well, Jesus, it's Mississippi.
But the good news is that...
That it's not Chris McDaniel.
And that was all won by... And now they're saying that they engaged the black voters and got them into an off-year election. It's a good thing. That might swing Democratic because now they're all paying attention to what they're voting for. But anyways, this Will... What's his name?
George Will.
Fucktard. And is everyone saying, don't say rape, don't say rape. Here you have one of their big people that goes on every talk show representing the Republican Party. He writes this absolutely evil op-ed
charges
piece.
Are overblown of rape on college
campuses. My God.
May I please ask a question? Only because this wasn't a tongue-in-cheek op-ed.
Oh, my God. No. This is the Republican thing of blame the victim. They don't believe in rape.
I know where you're going with that, but no.
Because, like, there's a lot of satire out there that people buy in and full on.
No. This was an op-ed.
I haven't read it.
Oh, no. I read it in the it's from the Washington Post.
Okay.
And it blew up, and it took a day, and the Washington Post thought they were fine because they got one day downtime. And I don't know what the news story was that let that float by for a news cycle.
And then it got caught.
But this is the guy that always represents Republicans. So now they're in worse shape. They don't have one candidate that they have to back away from. They have their guy that they send out to CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, NBC. He goes to every network representing them, and now he's saying that rape is not a real thing. And they're all like, oh my God, you and that wig were our voice. And he's fucking evil.
Yeah.
Fucking evil.
And now he is no longer.
Yeah. Oh, he's no longer a lot of things.
He'll come back.
He'll pop up like somewhere. Bill Bennett now comes back. You know, Bill Bennett, the guy that was anti. He was the big one that was against Clinton and all that stuff, and he was the moral high horse. And then he lost all his money in online gambling, and it turns out he hired hookers. But Bill Bennett comes back on Crossfire now, and you're like, well, time heals everything.
Sure. Right.
Sure.
Heals all wounds.
So the wig will be back. A different color.
A wig of a different color.
The wig will.
A wig of a different color. Oh, I think. Oh, that may be the name of the show. I like that. final story as we got wrap up headlines before Al gets a vein popping out of his forehead after that story.
Oh, I stayed away from it because I think
a gentleman by the name of Michael Cavanaugh just wanted to spend a nice day kayaking on a creek in upstate New York. Well. That day was ruined when an angry beaver attacked him and knocked him into the water.
Marnie.
I was nowhere near that place.
Bollocks.
Cavanaugh was kayaking on a creek in Monroe County on June 10th when the incident happened, according to witness Nate Reynolds, who runs the Bay Creek Paddling Center, who is also an instructor on kayaking. He says, quote, I heard my name called out from the shop and I ran out the door to see the guy getting pulled into the water by the beaver. It apparently came up on
How big is your beaver, sir?
Came out of the water.
It's revenge for that gator. They were friends.
Out of the water, on the kayak, grabbed the guy's arm and pulled him in the water.
Oh, the guy
said it was like watching a horror film. Although Cavanaugh was able to get to his feet and approach the dock, the beaver never let go of his arm, even when Reynolds hit the creature with a paddle several times.
Bam, bam, bam.
The paddle broke and the beaver finally let go.
Oh, the poor beaver. Listen to me. The poor beaver.
Say that sentence again once more. I can't stop it.
The paddle broke and the beaver let go.
Oh, I love it. That's what happened to me last night.
Reynolds said...
Sounds like a typical Monday.
Reynolds said the beaver kind of disappeared for a few seconds, but he came back up, so I hit him again.
Bam!
Reynolds eventually killed the angry beaver with the paddle. With the paddling center, it was close until animal control found its carcass, and they had to take it to test for rabies. Carcass. Tests have not come back, but the center has since reopened to kayakers everywhere.
Does the beaver have a lawyer?
At press time? It was not stated.
And I don't know how to break this to you, Ernie. Things die. Humans, animals, beavers, alligators.
I don't give a shit about humans. Oh,
just about every creature on Earth except for turtles.
But they shouldn't get beat to death with paddles.
Except for turtles.
No, they really don't have a life expectancy for turtles. They still don't. No one's lived long enough to see a turtle die. Unless crazy. You starve
My
to
sister
death.
Has a turtle. Its yeah. name is Zeus.
Thanks.
But turtles don't die. Like, unless you kill them.
I guess
they
not.
Live. They have no life expectancy. They live forever.
8:43. It is Studio C, the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton, along with
a fucking animal died.
Yeah,
everything
loses
dies.
Her goddamn.
Can we don't do well with it.
Speaking of not dying, Al Perkins and entertainment.
I'm never on the right page for this.
No, it's shocking. two years in.
Here we are. Nope, not there yet. Oh, Jerry Goffin dies. Chelsea Handler moves to Netflix. Critics' Choice Award winners. Premiere of True Blood. A couple new shows starting. There's a fun show coming up. We have a group binge suggested. A good movie. A finale. I have a couple of music suggestions.
Oh, we enjoy music.
And today is my 28th anniversary of living in Arizona. I moved here the June 24th.
Happy anniversary.
That's enough. 1986. There's no time.
Happy anniversary.
There's no time for
bollocks.
All right. So Jerry Goffin, who you might know, is an ex-husband of Carole King, who wrote "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?" and "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman," and seriously, countless other hits. From the Brill Building has died, and Carole King, they have their lovely daughter together, and they remain friends. And I think they even wrote a couple songs years after their divorce. Mm-hmm. But probably one of the three or four most prolific pop writers in history passed away. Very sad. And if you haven't heard it, and please pick your favorite version. Lately, "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" is Doug Wilkie's favorite song, "The Wilk."
Beautiful song.
Beautiful song. The Shirelles made it popular. They wrote it specifically for them. But there's a version by Roberta Flack that I found in the last two or three months.
Okay. Oh,
that is just breathtaking.
Now, how old is it? Is it a recent recording of hers? Or
no, it's an older one. And I had just never noticed it. I actually owned a CD with it on it. And a friend, as I was telling someone a few months ago, that I still to this day think it's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. They were like, "Oh, are you familiar with the Roberta Flack version?"
And you're like,
I was all up in arms. I went to my Roberta Flack's Greatest Hits on iTunes, and there it was. I had it in my iTunes the whole time, and I just never played it. So Jerry Goffin, I mean, seriously, the Brill Building, the whole thing of New York, the songwriters, Lieber and Stoller, Goffin and King, these are like some of the most prolific people. A very sad day for music. He was just genius. Chelsea Handler has decided to take her show to Netflix. So Netflix is now into a new thing, and I think Clayton will join us on Netflix soon.
Yay!
Where they will do a show for upload every week, allegedly, that she's going to put a new show out.
I love Chelsea
We
Handler.
Could wind up on Netflix, maybe. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah. So,
oh, my God. That would be awesome.
So, very, very interesting that's the way she chose that this Netflix thing is not – it's not just a
– Hashtag TSWCM.
Oh, I didn't realize I had this, too.
What's that?
I have the same song you were just speaking of. I was going to pay just a clip.
I'll play a little bit of "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow."
Stand by. Actually, we're going to go
into it a little bit.
We can still talk over the beginning because then that just kind of gets our 5 seconds of playing a song that they check and they figure out that we're playing it.
Someone is listening right now.
There's a song called "Don't Leave Me This Way" that I think is a great song about a one night stand. Oh. And I think "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" is your thought before the one night stand.
Oh, lovely. It's got a hell of a 25, at this point, second intro.
There is a fast forward button available on almost every player.
What?
Oh. Oh, it's Roberta.
I've never heard this.
Oh, I like it. Machu Picchu should pick this for her remix list.
Oh, that's lovely.
For the restaurant.
Oh, we'll have to listen to it later.
If you're not familiar with the work of Roberta Flack, just one of the most beautiful, breathtaking singers ever.
That is not bollocks.
And one of the most, I think one of the most known songs of hers is "Killing Me Softly."
Yeah,
sure.
And the one that I think is the most beautiful song ever written is the first time ever I saw your face.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Don't talk about that song.
Oh, like my nipples just
Nobody hurt. Died!
No, I'm for that one, I have it special for her.
Oh, well, I think she's heard it before.
Leona Lewis version is really pretty, that song, too. Just saying.
The Leona Helmsley version is good, too.
Don't listen to that song.
You cannot oversing that. That's my thing with the first time ever I saw your face.
Yep.
One of my favorite singers of all time is Alison Moyet, and she oversings it. If you're going to sing that song, you have to sing it as written softly, and you have to remember it gently. Like, it's like when people shout over the rainbow, it's a lullaby. Right. Settle the fuck down.
Right. And one thing I want you to always remember, Aaron, more than that song is this.
Bacon! Where's the bacon? Bacon! 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 Gotta be bacon! Only one thing smells like bacon! That's bacon! Bacon, 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 bacon!
That's me in the morning.
It's bacon!
That's a dog. That dog's not dead.
You don't know.
You don't know that.
Shh, dog's not dead. Let me have that. The beaver's dead. The gator's injured.
All right,
oh,
so,
Molly says, fuck Leona Lewis. Ooh, struck a nerve there, huh?
Yeah, and I do have to say
but
that.
But it's a beautiful version of the song.
I know, but I have a feeling.
Feelings
she's gonna,
or not.
I have a feeling she's going to oversing it. She's one of those people that I don't trust to not oversing it. But I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
I have it on my phone.
I'll keep an open mind.
In case that one ever asked me to marry her, then I got that song.
Okay, so the Critics' Choice Awards came on, and the Critics' Choice are, they were for TV. They come out later. And why aren't the winners on here? Why are they just... we're going to go to the winners. So there was a couple surprises, a couple of... there's always cheaters in the mix. And I think this season of Critics' Choice Awards, they had a couple of big cheaters. I agreed with the winners, but they're cheating. So Best Drama Series, Breaking Bad. Everyone saw that coming. Best Actor in a Drama Series, Matthew McConaughey trumps... He wasn't even nominated. Woody Harrelson for Best Actor in a Drama Series. Well,
I think
deserved.
He was well, yeah.
Well deserved, but I could have gone either way. But I don't know how they got around not nominating.
Sure.
I don't think it's one of those things where I don't think it's fair to nominate one without the other. Actress in a Drama Series, the winner, Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, which I think has to be our new group. Let's binge
I'm
watch Orphan Black
teach,
together, and I'll be caught
tissue.
Up.
Okay.
And we'll,
how do I find it? Where is it?
Orphan Black. It's on BBC America. It's going to be on your on demand.
Okay, got it.
But I'm not. Season one is hard to find. I just want to say I saw season one when it aired. It's not on Netflix. I think Amazon or maybe Hulu. I'm not sure where you have to go to
find
it.
We don't have Amazon, but we do have Hulu.
All right,
yeah.
I'll look it up.
Best comedy series, Orange is the New Black for last season. Again, a strange place to put a comedy.
Isn't
not
that,
always
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
But they're doing that thing where, like, it could go either way.
Sure.
You could make, because House of Lie or House of Cards right. is.
House of Lies, same thing.
Well, no, but Netflix is very serious this year, and the Emmy nominations come out July 10th. They are very serious this year that they want to win, and they have a good shot of winning Best Comedy and Best Drama, because Netflix is for real now. Mm-hmm. They want to be legit.
Sure.
And with House of Cards being like the binge show of the year for drama, they bumped Orange is the New Black to comedy so that they would not intersect because they want both awards and they're not fucking around. Like Netflix has got a serious push out.
Okay.
And but Orange
is there a stitch of comedy
question?
In?
So just so for Orange is the New Black watchers, if you're in mid-season, I texted Al mid-season and said, because I don't even watch.
Do not give a spoiler.
I'm not.
No. Nope.
I don't even watch Disney movies because I don't like the villain. I don't do well with villains. I don't do well with sadness. I know I live in a fucking bird chirping but don't have beaks because they peck your face off kind of world. So I texted Al and said, just please tell me that this V cunt gets it and she gets it at the end. And Al's like, I'm not telling you shit. You got to keep watching it. And can I tell you, I've never been. The ending, we've talked about the ending of that
yeah,
whole
no spoilers.
No, I'm not spoiling shit.
No.
The end of the season two, we've talked about it probably five or six times. I keep reliving that whole episode.
Yeah, it was genius.
It really
that
is.
That show was so
I
good.
And
love
I loved that it started.
Oh, like, Harrison says season one is on demand.
Okay. Oh, so it's on your on demand under
the
BBC.
Black show,
okay.
But not Orange is the New Black show. Right. The other black show.
Okay. So best actress in a comedy series. Is there any doubt that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is not going to win every award
for Veep? What's
for
she,
Veep?
How do I watch that?
HBO Go.
Which apparently she has it.
And
I have HBO Go.
Okay. Best actor in a comedy series. Jim Parsons keeps winning, but I have to say, The Big Bang Theory. It's one of those shows that I watch occasionally. I go on demand and I watch The Big Bang Theory.
Sure.
It's funny. It's really
it's a funny show.
But you have to back it up a little. And I don't know. I know it talks about it. It's a show about mental illness. Like that show is seriously.
The Big
you mean
Bang
the
Theory?
OCD kind of stuff? Or
no, he is either Asperger's or autistic, and they don't mess around.
I
the book.
I think he has like a lot like OCD like, kind of stuff. And
no, but he's but they talk about like oh like he goes off on his own at one point, and they're worried about him. They're like, well, we taught him about Stranger Danger.
Right.
Like they have real serious discussions about this guy's not safe on his own. Like it's very odd to me because I like are we kind of making like you make fun of me for retard, but I'm like, are we laughing at someone we shouldn't be laughing at? Like.
See, and I just took
it. But no, it's very charming. It's very sweet-spirited.
And I'm with you. Like, I just, when I've watched it, I truly took it.
Are you laughing at Tomo right now? Because yes, Tomo, I could kiss you right now.
People who split infinitives shouldn't correct.
What is that about?
Continue.
He's thinking, that's for Harrison.
Oh, okay. So, best movie, The Normal Heart. Okay, best miniseries. And here's where I think they cheated, because it just ended last Tuesday. So what's their deadline?
No.
Because the awards were handed out last Tuesday. The winner was Fargo. I agree.
Don't you know?
For best miniseries. And now you gotta remember that...
I gotta watch that too.
True Detective... Oh, I just think that there's a lot of stuff that I just think you've already seen, or I would have suggested a lot more stuff. So True Detective put itself in the regular series, not the miniseries competition, because they intend to carry on. So they decided to not bother.
Okay.
So Fargo wins, and I'll get to that in a minute. Best actress in a movie series or miniseries, Jessica Lange Coven. Billy Bob Thornton wins for actor for Fargo. Okay. Again, not fair. It's not his time. You know what I mean? The series didn't, they didn't finish the season.
Sure.
And I think you should at least have to finish the season.
Yep.
There's a lot of bullshit here. There's best supporting actress in a comedy. You shouldn't win awards for reality TV. That's just stupid. Best supporting actress in a comedy series.
Bollocks.
Yeah. Allison Janney from Mom ties with Kate Mulgrew. From Orange is the New Black. I have to agree with both choices.
Okay, I can go with that.
Okay, that's like Sophie's choice. How do you pick between someone so lovable and so winning and someone who's gone... I'm basing it on season two, though, because I just watched it.
Right.
But Kate Mulgrew, when she loses everything and like, oh, my God. Orange is the New Black. Why are you watching it?
We made Chicken Kiev when the season two came out, in honor of Red.
Of Red.
Yeah.
Supporting actor in a comedy series.
True story. And an orange cocktail.
Andre Brower for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is getting awards here and there. I love that show.
I know. That was one I just couldn't get on board.
Oh, no. That's not the one I hated. What's the one I hated? Dad's.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
That was fucking awful.
Oh, I don't think I watched that.
Supporting actress in a miniseries or movie, Alison Tolman for Fargo. Again, I think her best episode was not yet shown. Supporting actor in a movie or miniseries, Matt Bomer for The Normal Heart. Well deserved. Okay. Allison Janney wins again. And I just read, I don't watch Masters of Sex. I didn't really like the first couple episodes. Mm. But from what I've read recently, Allison Janney comes along and just rips the shit out of a guest star part.
Phenomenal.
But what can't she do? Oh. We're left with that question.
She's amazing. And actually, some of the most fun that I've, where I've enjoyed her the most is on the Ellen show. Have you ever seen her on Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh, yes.
Hysterical.
I had already moved on to the next thing, so I was like, no, I haven't seen her yet.
Yeah,
so here's my favorite award of the evening, and I think the most deserved, but again, well, no, I think for last season, too, because she has one brilliant episode. But best guest performer in a comedy series, regardless of comedy or drama, and Uzo Aduba wins.
Oh, Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes.
Yeah.
Done and done.
Orange is the New Black. Good. And I'm like... That is just genius.
Did you see the thing I put up where she auditioned for every part?
Yes. Brilliant.
Fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Not only
she's like, I couldn't relate to that.
Not only does she have like such a huge range, but that part is so, again, a mental illness portrayed in an honest way with caring and like,
I've never felt more empathy for a character in a TV show.
I feel the same way.
Ever.
Honest to God, do. She finally had, and it was evil and manipulative, but somebody got behind her and she responded
to it. God damn, I've never felt empathy like that.
Now, who else was up for that one?
It doesn't even matter. She won.
Hey, question, Al.
And I'm curious who they even put her up against. Because
it was sexless. It was not about, it wasn't like best guest actor or actress.
Oh, okay.
Let me just find it.
That's okay. It doesn't matter.
So it was... Sarah Baker for Louie, James Earl Jones for The Big Bang Theory, Mimi Kennedy for Mom, who is the cancer victim, Andrew Rennellis for Girls, which that show is horrible, and Lauren
You're the first person to ever say that. I've heard.
Yeah,
Sex and the City for fat girls is what somebody told me.
No, it's for people that you want to hit over the head with this fucking bottle.
It's too good a wine. I'm not going to do
fucking
that.
Show. Bollocks. But anyways, Lauren Weedman for Looking, who is the kind of the hag on the show, but she has it's such a well-rounded. You could describe it as the hag.
I prefer
but she's
Flame
not.
Dame.
Right, but she's not. She is. She is the very supportive, realistic friend of the guy that wants to open a restaurant, and she's supportive when she needs to. She doesn't just follow him blindly.
That's funny.
She's not some sad creature that's just like lurking on the sidelines of gay guys. Mm-hmm. She has her own life and her own thing. She just happens to have a gay best friend, and it's very, again, Looking is very good. It's just not very exciting. If you're looking for a show with a lot going on, Looking is not what you're looking
okay.
for.
So, question for you, and yep. I don't know how you feel about Amy Poehler in general.
Oh, I love
but
her.
I love her, and all of a sudden I'm seeing these commercials. First of all, she's Old Navy spokesperson now, which makes me – I don't think she needs to do that. Second of all, what is this new show about Sweden for some shit that she's on?
It looks horrible.
It looks awful, and it makes me feel like she sold out, and I don't understand because she's so funny.
I don't know about the show.
It's, all right, it's on NBC. It's Google coming this shit. Fall. It's
called, no, summer. It's a summer show.
It's a summer replacement. Yeah. I'm bad. Yeah. My bad.
But it looks awful.
Well, she's married and she moved to Sweden with her new fiance or her husband's family.
It'll be a limited series, and it's not summer series. Now, last summer we talked about the Under the Dome, where they've decided to, because they can't compete with cable like Dexter.
Well, I don't know. Shows, Big Brother's a summer show, and I don't quit that shit.
Again, we're talking about real TV, not reality shows.
Scripted, not stage TV.
Scripted shows.
Sorry.
But scripted shows have a hard, and cable are doing so well off season, and they run in 13 episode arcs, and they start whenever they fucking want to.
Right.
And the networks can't keep up. So now they're doing limited run summer shows. And if it lasts a season, who cares?
Right. Okay.
If it lasts more than a season, good on you.
Like that goddamn Mistresses show. Holy shitbags. I knocked my earphones off. I'm so excited about that show.
But Under the Dome was the one that changed the thing. They started Under the Dome, and then it hit, and then it got big numbers. Yeah. So what was supposed to be one season is now they're coming back for a second season, and they didn't finish what happened Under the Dome. Now they have to stretch it out. So now they're in that dangerous territory of like, oh, how are you going to get 26 episodes out of that? So even Stephen King is shitting on that one. So I have to say, we're going to finish up Fargo. The finale was last week. Mm-hmm. And Entertainment Weekly, my personal Bible, as Bill Maher is my personal Jesus. Entertainment Weekly had a big thing about how good it was and how they stayed so true to the original Fargo, and they called it Blood in the Snow. Mm-hmm. Like, do you need to leave and do the changeover?
I need to do a crossover, but because I have something I want to add to it. And then oddly, there is a news story out of Florida. Oh. It's not funny.
Weird.
And it's not that ties into Fargo.
Okay. Actually.
Oh, interesting.
9 o'clock in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk America. This is the show alongside Aaron Henderson, Marty Ryer, Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks for being with us. We got a whole other hour coming up. We're going to continue on with Al's entertainment section. Since Katie's not here, we're probably not going to do much sports. We're just going to talk for another fucking hour.
Oh, no, we're going to do.
I have a sports story. One.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, one.
Does it have to do with the World Cup and hot guys?
No.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But we're going to carry on the story about hot guys.
And I have another story, too. It's fine.
Yes. And no, Christian Ronaldo is not gay, sadly. Anyway, we'll be back in just moments right here on Q Talk America. Join us in the chat room, if you will. If not, get a drink, because our drinking word is...
Bollocks!
Hello!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. Beginning of hour three, as we do it. It's a Tuesday night. You're with us in Studio C. This is The Show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Aaron Henderson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We do it every Tuesday night. However, most often, we have Katie June with us. She's out tonight. She will be back with us next week. Fear not, fear not. We are in the middle of an entertainment section, and we have more coming right now from the one and only Mr. Al Perkins. Al?
Read when I write. Okay. So, Fargo, the season finale, so good. And the Entertainment Weekly people described it as like staying true to the Blood in the Snow energy of the movie, which was so good. And there's a couple, the movie ties in just gingerly with a little money buried in a snowbank.
Right.
From allegedly the same year, and then it or no, 10 years later. It would be 10 years later. Mm-hmm. So that suitcase has been out there a while. So I have to say that not I thought there was a lovely tip of the hat to the movie of Fargo. First, that they filmed it somewhere that it was constantly snowing.
Yep.
And 99% of that snow, well, probably 95% of the snow, because there was the scene in the blizzard. Yep. That was clearly not snow. But almost all of that was like really filmed in shitty weather and bleakness and real snowbanks and drifts. And I'm like, I feel bad for the production company that had to like set up. Right. And almost all TV shows film at night.
Yeah, okay.
Like, almost all TV shows film in the late hours.
That's when everything good happens.
Right. Well, and I don't know if it's expense-wise, and I don't understand like why they film outdoors at night, but they predominantly do. It's very weird.
Well, my guess is the cities are usually bustling and they're busier, so it's easier to shut down.
That's a good thought that I never thought of, and traffic would be easier to manage at the later hour. So God bless those people. And I always think it's so easy for all of us, and we make jokes about the Arkansas's, the Alabama's,
the Floridas,
the Minnesota's. And I really have to give the writers credit and this actor, and forgive me if I didn't bother to look up his name, but he plays the sheriff, and he had, in the course of this 13-episode show, I thought he had two genius speeches. And it turns out this guy, as I Googled him, he's one of those people that gets put into sci-fi shows for the comic boys, for the fanboys. He's kind of like your Gillian Anderson, the girl that was on Lost, and she was on V for Vendetta. Like, it's one of those people that just has a following. And like, what's the guy? I won't even bother with you guys.
No,
but there's
try
the,
it,
there's a guy from Evil Dead, something Bruce Campbell. That's that they put in any movie because you know you're going to get a Bruce Campbell following.
But are you talking about Kate from? From Lost, is that who you're talking about a minute ago?
Not Kate from Lost, she's on everything. So it turns out this sheriff is someone who has a little bit of a following amongst those that watch stuff. And so I was not familiar with his work, but I guess he was from Breaking Bad. He's on a lot of different stuff. He's on the spinoff of Breaking Bad, and he played a doofus. And you're kind of like, oh, okay, they're making fun of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then he got a speech a few episodes ago, where he just breaks down in front of the Margie of the TV show, and he tells her like, there's been this many murders in this city. There has been this many crimes in this city. Like, I can't wrap my brain around what's happening here.
Yeah.
And he was so sad as he was telling her, like, I can't believe what you're saying. Like, I'm sure what you're putting up on the board and you're giving me this crime scene makes sense.
Are you talking about him?
Yes. Yeah, with he's
him? Oh yeah.
And I
totally
really was not expecting this level of writing or acting out of like it's like kind of like when The Walking Dead like hits the mark and you're like, this is a show about zombies. How is the writing this good? How is the acting this good? And this guy, he's been a doofus for the whole show. He gives this beautiful speech about like,
yeah, he really was.
This is the level of crime I deal with. I became a policeman to help people, not to solve this shit.
Yeah.
And in the last episode, like, and I was kind of appreciating him. And in the last episode, as like the shit's hitting the fan, he just says to Allison, whatever her name is, the Margie of this one, he's like, I don't want to live in a world where I have to look over my shoulder. He's like, I don't trust people anymore. I don't know what this world is about. Mm-hmm. And as they're talking about this, and my nipples get hard just thinking about it, as he's giving this homage to, it's the speech from No Country for Old Men. Okay. He's just giving that, like, I'm an old man that does an old cop's job in a very safe city. Like, my job is just to keep people happy and protect, like, I can't deal with violent crime.
Sure.
And it was heartbreaking. Yeah, I was really so impressed by, like, the level that we reached. Every time something on TV gets to a level of, like, major motion pictures, I'm like, this was an amazing performance. And I really thought it kind of apologized for portraying them as, like, dumb cops or anything like that, or like local yokels. It was just saying, like, we live in a safe, this is where safety is. Like, we don't deal with this shit in this level. And it was beautifully done. And I wrote down his whole speech there in case I wanted to go word for word. Very well done. The Signal is supposed to be the best recent movie.
Molly Salverson.
That's her name on that.
Yep, and, Deputy Salverson.
But The Signal is supposed to be the best new movie out right now. It's kind of sci-fi. It's kind of fun. Lawrence Fishburne. It's the one that everyone's talking about. And then True Blood premiere was last night, and it was really good.
Okay.
True Blood has been kind of a chore that I've been getting through for like the last season, and then just when they announced they were canceling it, it got really good.
Okay.
And then last night they killed off a major character, and it was exciting and sexy, and everybody was back. Shocking. Yeah, I'm like, of course it's the last season. Again, another show. I just assume
I have a huge list happening.
I know.
Here.
When you ask me for my top five shows, I just assume you've seen all the good
ones. No.
True Blood.
Veep, I haven't watched. True Detective, I haven't watched. Fargo, I haven't watched.
I would put True Blood on the bottom of that because they have three stinker seasons.
Sure.
But four amazing seasons.
The C word, though. Start with something else.
Start with Veep. Get happy first. Veep.
Yeah, happy. That's fucking
so
funny.
The Leftovers starts next Sunday. Very interesting. It's from the people that brought us Lost. I think it's Sunday. It's on HBO. The Leftovers looks really, really good. It's what happens after the reckoning, the rapture, whatever you call it, after 2% of the population are taken up in the rapture. What happens to the people that are left? Interesting things of people that want to die to become in the rapture, so they're trying to hasten their own deaths. Very interesting, and a friend of mine is actually in the trailer for the show. Under the Dome begins, which I'm not sure how they're going to carry it on, but allegedly they're going to start killing off characters. And then Extant with Halle Berry starts this summer, and I think it starts next week or the week after, and it looks really good, and now like all of the black Oscar winners of the last 10 years are all on TV shows. Viola Davis has a TV show coming. Mm-hmm. Octavia Spencer is not only on Mom, but she has her own show coming.
Yep. And it's not Murder, She Wrote.
Gabby Sidibe.
Oh, totally.
She's on the C
Precious,
Word.
Precious, is that, was that who was?
Wonderful on the C Word. So, actually, I'm really curious about that. My music. Bastille. The album's called Bad Blood. The band is called Bastille. Electronic, dancey, fun, tongue-in-cheek. They do a remake, and I shouldn't spoil it, but I will. It's a remake of No Scrubs. I think it's
fun.
TLC.
Yeah.
But they do
Candy Burris.
They do the
Real House of Atlanta.
They do.
Brought around to reality TV. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Didn't ask.
Bollocks.
So anyways, they do it with dialogue from Anthony Perkins from Psycho.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're living at home with your mom, sir, oh, yes, I'm talking to you, we're all trapped in our own private hells. I mean, just brilliant.
Funny.
That they work
Bastille
in...
Bastille is the name of the Bastille, group or the album?
Bastille is the group. Bad Blood is the album. Phenomenal. And then Johnny Swim, I've mentioned it before. I've been listening to Diamonds over and over again, and it gets better and better and better. Okay. I can't think of the guy's name. It's Amanda Sedano, and I cannot think of her husband's name. Oh, my God. His voice is amazing, amazing, amazing.
Weren't they just on NPR like a couple months ago?
They were. They did.
Yeah.
The Song at the Dove.
That was the best show like ever.
And the album gets better. Every listening gets better and better and better.
Johnny
Swim.
So cute. Yeah. Yes.
And so talented.
Yes.
Oh, I can't think. I'll Google his name because he's worth just to hear his voice.
Harrison, can you hook us up with a name?
I'm right here.
Okay.
No, but Harrison's like loves it.
But it is a genius album. So that's it.
Did you call him The Steel or Bastille?
Bastille. B-A-S-T-I-L-L-E.
That's what I.
Bastille. Oh my God. So many good songs on that CD. It's ridiculous how good this CD is. It's called Bad Blood. And all day long, that's all I did today. From the minute I got up, I just had those two albums on repeat. So I listened to those 14 songs or 16 songs. Could not stop. And one would hit you with like clever electronic dancing. Another one hit you with like dancing with bluegrass and all this soul. And like, oh my God, his voice, his name is Ramirez. I can't think of his first name. But
okay, so I have to interject in your entertainment section because it would have gone in the...
Abner.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Abner Will. Ramirez.
Ramirez.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he was on Wipeout. He was a contestant on Wipeout.
Shut
for
up.
Fun. Awesome. He did it as a bucket list thing. He went on Wipeout.
Oh, awesome. I love that
He didn't
show.
Do very well, but
Martin
he was funny.
Martin loves that show, too, because people fall over.
Oh, my God. It makes me laugh.
Because it's fucking funny.
I was going to say this in sports and stuff because of you, but heard a great segment on NPR today. I'm one of those nerds that says that a lot. About... come on here, Aaron, a whole bottle of wine. You know, John Hairspray.
Waters.
Yeah, this book, Carson.
Oh, Hitchhiking Across America.
Yeah, he hitchhikes across America with a sign that says, I'm not psycho. And 2/3 of his book is all fantasy about, like, what he imagined would happen. And then a third of it, that last third of it, is what really happened. And he said he met some of the best people. He said there was a Republican city councilman, I think it was city councilman, who picked him up, drove him 2 hours out of his way, then a couple days later drove 48 hours to pick him up from where he was. They spent like a week together, and he's like, we never talked politics. And it's funny how many times John Waters references being just gaylicious. Like every time, every chance he gets, he references being gay, gay, gay.
He was on The Late Show with Craig Ferguson the other night, and he was talking about this very story.
It sounded just fantastic. He's hilarious. I don't know that I've ever heard him that long.
Yeah, he was in Real Time a couple weeks ago with Bill Maher talking about it.
He really is.
He's wonderful. His work is wonderful. And I have not read the book, but it's on my list for my vacation.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's got a reading list happening, but I want to add that to mine. You can all add that to yours. It sounded just fantastic. And everyone's typing, so no one's listening. But my girlfriend just busted out a new bottle of wine. So you're welcome, listeners. Richard, Sorry. Thanks for drinking for me. Harrison, look, you were right. And away I drink. And Yay for summer school.
I'm like behind because I can't do the chat room and do the entertainment section at the same time. So I'm so far behind. So I'm going to catch up while Clayton, you tell your story.
I'm just basically saying nobody knew what you were saying because you were talking.
What were you saying about Fargo?
We're all with you.
Okay.
I'm with you. I'm here.
Okay, I've got a few points to make. I mean, it's rare that I want to chime in on your entertainment section like this, but I have a few things that, as you were talking, I was reminded.
I even turned my chair away from you now because the bored look on your face pisses me off. Yeah.
Okay, so a couple things. I chose not to put this in the headline story for Florida because we bag on Florida enough. The joke in the original Fargo movie is that your friend in the wood, or is it your buddy in the wood chipper?
Is that your partner there in the wood chipper?
Yeah. Sadly, in Florida this past week, a gentleman who was on a lawn crew was clearing brush around some community center. And the investigation, they don't know how he got entangled in whatever branches. And he went through a wood chipper. He literally did.
Not as sad as the beaver, but still really sad.
Oh, no, it's what's more sad, because this guy died.
The beaver died.
Who cares about the goddamn beaver?
Don't get her started.
Maybe a rabid beaver.
Yeah.
But this guy just got entangled in branches and, like, shot
the guy who did my yard last time.
He couldn't have been hurt, so that's a bonus.
So that was tragic.
Truly,
so that was the Fargo
case. Like, now,
a couple of things that I don't know if I've talked about this a couple of things I enjoy. I enjoy listening or seeing interviews with people that are not normal interviews. Like, you know, you get the, like he talks about, you know, there's the Jay Leno interview on the Tonight Show that was all very boxed and pre-made and everybody asked the same questions and yada, yada, yada. There's a series that Jerry Seinfeld does on online. And if you've not seen it, I think I've already talked about it. It's called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It's only available online. It's a YouTube channel. Google it. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Now, if you know anything about Jerry Seinfeld, he loves classic cars. So what he does is he goes and he rents classic cars, everything from old 56 Cadillacs, a 1976 Country Squire station wagon, and he goes and he picks up these comedians and they drive around.
If I would have known the car was your way into this website, I would have told you about it years ago.
Oh, I didn't know anything about it.
What's it called? Cars and Comedians?
Comedians and Cars Getting coffee.
And it's so funny.
I enjoy the shit out of it. In fact,
I never know how to get you to watch. Because I put stuff on your page all the time. I put this on there like a year ago.
I've watched every fucking episode of this.
Including the one I put on your page like last year.
I don't know if you did or not. Anyway, so the deal is Sarah Jessica Parker buys a 1976 Ford Country Squire station wagon with wood on the side.
Okay.
Jerry Seinfeld gets it, drives, picks her up. They drive all over New York. They go have coffee. They get a driver to drive it. And remember in these old station wagons, there were flip-up seats in the back?
Oh, sure.
They sit in the back of the car while somebody drives them around. They have coffee. There's cameras all over the car.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
He goes and he gets Letterman. He gets, Louis C.K. when they go out on the boat and he tells a story about how they got stranded when the tide went out. Funny. It's so interesting to me, but it's only online. You've got to, and I put the link in the chat room, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And you can go back a couple of seasons. One. He does Letterman. He does Howard Stern. He does Jay Leno. There's so many interesting things. Don Rickles. But you get so many different stories out of these people that you don't normally get for everybody else. I love it. So if you can find that. Another one that I have found, and I have just become enthralled with. Now, I think we've all talked about this. Not anybody here is really happy with clowns.
No,
nobody's happy with clowns.
I was a clown in junior high.
But you can't sing.
Oh, I can sing.
Oh, well, not like Puddles.
But I wasn't a good clown.
Not like Puddles.
I think I put like makeup on.
There is a guy, and there's a backstory that he performs in Seattle in a show as a character that's a clown, but he's created a character called PuddlesPityParty.com.
That sounds Puddles, like something I do.
Puddles Pity Party. Well, incontinence is your friend. PuddlesPityParty.com. And if you also Google, I found, the way I found him was there's a YouTube sensation, a guy named Scott Bradley, and it's B-R-A-D-L-E-E.
He's a sensation.
Apparently, YouTube sensation. He's produced a few CDs. I actually bought one. He has a band, and it looks like he does it all out of his apartment. They take current songs, and he redoes them and makes them sound like they're from the 20s or 30s.
Oh, cool.
Like they're old, like retro. And he turns them into a flapper. He does Careless Whisper. He does like Royals and current stuff. A lot of like Timber. He does
What's his name?
Scott Bradley. Scott Bradlee. Okay. So anyway, through listening through all of the different things, there's this clown that comes in and sings the song in studio with these people. And I about fell over because it was like, who is this guy? What is he doing? One of the videos that I found of him, he walks into, again, this is in Seattle, a place called Joe's Pub. And they were doing, I guess they do like a weekly, like there's a band that, in this pub, and they do like a weekly album review or some tribute thing. Well, one week they did a Ray Charles, and he comes in, and the setup, literally the setup when he walks on stage is almost, it's over 2 minutes to get to the point. And he does Ray Charles, You Don't Know Me. So I don't know exactly where I'm queued up on this, but let's see where I am to this on this song. But he does. Oh, he hasn't started yet.
You give your hand to me.
He sings this song.
And you say hello.
In this full clown outfit.
I can hardly speak.
But he has this huge voice.
Elvis-y. My heart is
beating so. Not even close. No, not, it may sound that way to you.
Yeah, a little bit. I like his
It's
voice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So he does this. This is You Don't Know Me. But I literally, my roommate Michael was laughing at me because I spent a couple hours the other day going through a bunch of videos on YouTube. He is in a coffee shop in Nashville and sings, Dancing Queen with a track off of an iPod.
I love it. Okay.
And everybody in the coffee shop joins in with him.
Al and I would steal that
but
show.
But he sings
just
it.
Saying.
He doesn't sing it like the disco version. It's just very.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, it's sorry. Anyway, so Puddles Pity Party. I put the link in the chat room. You can find that as well. The other thing that I was thinking, and I thought of Al on this the other day, because we've all commented. Al and I, the 70s, the disco versions, music from that era, it was just so much happier and so much, more enjoyable to listen to. And now everything is just
right.
When they make remixes and stuff.
And
right.
Sure. You could hum it later.
Yeah.
If you wanted
right,
to.
Right, right. Yeah, like there's a tune.
Right.
I was,
there's no humming.
My Norwegian friend.
I was very happy in. Hair
That's awesome.
I am friends with several DJs, not only here in the Valley, but around the country that I get different mixes from all the time. They just email me. And one of them is DJ Jeremy that is from here in town. And there was a thread on his Facebook page. And to my pleasant surprise, several of them were chiming in about how they're so tired of all of the way that music is now sent to them with certain, the way the tracks are set up and all the way the music is set up. They long for the days when music was so much more free. And a couple of them were actively working on putting out mixes of stuff that is a lot more enjoyable, I guess. Because I don't really think that a lot of the current is enjoyable at all. It's there, it's background music. But like when I hear Love to Love You Baby or Finger on the Trigger, parenthetically, any of the stuff from 70s, 80s, it's just so much more free and open. And I would just be thrilled to see DJs who are actively in the industry, who make mixes for satellite radio systems, clubs, they produce for other people. And they're like, we're really tired of this, the way that it's all coming out. I just thought it was refreshing to me that I was
doing. It all sounds the same.
Well, that's why I think,
remarkably.
Not to bring it back to me, but may I just, I think that's why you'll enjoy.
So my bell got moved.
Our delivery.
Hi, birthday buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Our delivery from Lux I got a mocha, but I don't know what he brought us, but he brought pastries or something.
But I honestly think
is that the cherry? Oh, I love that. That's fantastic.
Is that your cherry?
No. These are.
How are you, birthday buddy?
Well, thanks.
I was being optimistic and going with the front.
Wow.
I love you.
No, but that's
thank you, dear.
Thank you, doll. that Bastille. I mean, these it's dance music, it's electronic, but it's hummable, and like at the end of it, like they're all tunes. I mean, there's the one remake that's really fucking clever, but the rest are all original songs.
I like music that just makes me smile, and if it's clever, it'll make me smile.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's
and if you're
so
clown
good.
Named Puddles and you're pity partying, I hear ya. I PMS too, Puddles.
I guess.
Here we go. Here we go.
This is my signature song.
Chance, you might love me too.
I like when he sells it at the end there. He gets this last one.
You give your hand to me.
This is me.
And then you say goodbye.
Here we go.
I watch you walk away.
Here we go.
With that fucking guy.
I love it.
I might have to alter my What's signature version of that song. What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
That cherry crumb cake, whatever that is fantastic.
My dinner was yogurt and peanuts.
What
the fuck is in this box?
Pastries were brought in from my roommate courtesy of Lux
Birthday
Coffee.
Buddy, you're my favorite.
Birthday Buddy.
We have the same birthday.
Oh, you know whose birthday is tomorrow? Speak of Entertainment. Who turns 51 tomorrow?
Not me
the
or
25th
your
of June.
Roommate.
25th of June, George Michael, 51 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Felicitations.
Yes, very good.
George Michael, Smorge Michael, Michelangelo, thank you for this cookie.
George Michael, Smorge Michael. Okay, so that's what all I had to contribute to your thing. But,
oh, my God.
May I adjust?
You can do whatever you want. Sure.
If these cherry things are what you're recommending, I'm going to break off a piece of it.
Would you like a napkin?
Can you break me off a piece?
Alfred?
Thanks. Yep.
I thought there was an interesting thing concerning Gary Oldman. Did you see that?
Yes,
about
yay,
Mel
yay.
Gibson?
Oh, no. We're talking about different things.
About Mel Gibson getting arrested in Albuquerque?
No,
we're talking about totally different things.
There's a whole lot of stuff that we didn't touch on.
I want to be crazy.
A white man in Hollywood thinks political correctness is overrated. Gary Oldman kind of went off about
it.
I agree. Like,
I got a blank. Who's Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman.
I know. I apologize.
From your
right. I heard totally he apologized for something, but
I'm like
couldn't.
From your Batman
what's he,
movie.
What's he
or
apologizing
something.
For?
Oh, as far as apologizing, that I hadn't heard. He implored us to take a fucking joke and get over it. It being a lack of political correctness, like that people say shit. Fucking relax.
You mean like the people in this room who like to say R E T A R D?
Like rape's not real.
You know, or those two things would not be mutually exclusive, but he defended Mel Gibson and Alec Baldwin. And
for the
I thought
hamster
that,
up their ass or the anti-Semiticism?
That's the wrong thing. Hamster. It's different.
Richard Gere.
Yep.
Didn't Mel Gibson have a rodent incident?
No, that was...
He says, I don't know about Mel. He got drunk and said a few things, but we've all said those things. We're all fucking hypocrites. The policeman who arrested him has never used the N-word or that fucking Jew. In the past, Gibson threatened to report his ex-wife to the people that take fucking money from the... They have fucking Jew, but you can't say, apparently, wetback or the N-word, according to this. That it goes on and on, blaming the liberal establishment. Oldman postulated, I'm going to say this word. He says, well, if I called Nancy Pelosi a cunt, and I'll go one better, a fucking useless cunt, I can't really say that. But Bill Maher and Jon Stewart can, and nobody's going to stop them for working because of it. So it was interesting. He kind of went off on this whole thing.
And now he had a big, huge apology today.
Oh,
has Jon Stewart ever said cunt on air? I don't think so.
No, but he gets bleeped a lot, so he says that,
he says
whatever he wants when they bleep it. But
okay. So
if you can't figure out what swear word Jon Stewart is using, you might be
bollocks
a retard.
To you, right?
I have an issue. Oh, by the way, forgive me for not betting it. TMZ, I just went to their site, which is where everything gets vetted. Actually, it was originally reported that Mel Gibson was arrested in Albuquerque, but come to find out, he actually was doing a scene for a movie and was seen walking into a jail. And they actually said that probably he didn't really have to rely on method acting for that one. He probably knew how to do it. My bad.
The only other thing, there was a thing that I have that I want to talk about next week with Bill Murray. But as far as Good Morning America co-host, former Joan London.
Joan London. I heard about this today.
Yeah, battling breast cancer.
Oh, yeah. Bollocks to that.
Yeah,
bollocks. Big time.
Yeah.
So she's undergoing chemotherapy, but she's, Godspeed to her. She's pretty fantastic. I loved watching
Good Remember America. Joan London and David Hartman?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those two are the...
And David Hartman, not attractive.
Well, no, not another, but I used to like... I liked to listen to him because I thought the way his... Just his pace and when he would...
And it amazed me that... And now we're anybody under 70 is not going to know what we're talking about. But it kind of amazed me that he went from being an actor to a morning TV show guy. And I thought... My thought was at 12 years old, or 11, whenever that started, was, wow... There goes all credibility for whatever they're going to say because that guy's has been act like
sure, I already, a doctor on
I
something.
I already knew him as a has been.
He
actor.
Is 79 years old, born David 35. Harman. Yeah, okay. David Harman. Golden Globe Award for best performance by an actor in a television series. He won that award.
I bet you I watched the series. What was the series?
Hang on. I don't.
A doctor something.
He's
doctor,
79, born in 35. I'm 35, born in 79.
So you look at
is
that.
Do that math, bitches. That.
Well, it's
is
easy.
It one of those weird years?
We're going to flip it.
I've had a bottle of wine plus.
Yeah, I guess.
Plus. What's the plus?
Shabbat's on the way here. More wine from my girl.
I like that you're double fisting two colors of wine. Actually, two religions.
Yes, actually.
Oh, it's, since we're on other stuff. Oh, well, let's
we can do sports. Other stuff. Here, other stuff. Go.
The Pope.
Yeah.
Frank, me and Bill Maher's buddy, who we keep agreeing with, which I find shocking that I and the Pope have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Well, he's against pot, so Bill Maher and I are both a little mad at him. But he excommunicated, like...
Yeah. I saw
persona
that.
Persona non grata, everyone in the mafia.
Yeah.
And he was like, no more of these mafia people going to church and being all religious.
Sure.
Because they're Italian Catholics. He's like, you're all out. And he excommunicated anybody. So the minute you admit like any kind of mafia ties, you are out of the Catholic Church.
Do you think Teresa and Joe still go to church? New Jersey Housewives.
So I don't think so.
But what I...
was filmed last season. This just happened.
Yeah.
Jeez, I gotta wait a year for that shit.
Yes.
We have a new listener. Yes.
Oh, my God, Canadian Van Art guy.
Hi,
Canadian Van Art guy.
Social steam. Who the fuck
is that? Well, I love your very
social
long
stream is the bullshit watching that makes you have commercials every 30 fucking
seconds.
Oh,
yeah. Well, you can subscribe for like $3
a month.
I
gotta do it. I gotta just do it.
Yeah, but the social stream is the one that none of us, we all decided we were going to try and watch the social stream, but then we all gave up on it.
Because it's annoying.
Well, no, because none of us knew how to do it.
No.
It went too fast and we couldn't keep up. It didn't go slow enough for the old timers. But anyways, the plot of the Godfather 3, and it came out of the real story about assassinating the 70s Pope that had mafia ties. I know I'm losing all of you with these references.
Yeah,
but
bollocks.
Is all about the mafia's about the ties with...
Richard?
Richard, meet Canadian Van Art guy.
Yeah.
Canadian Van Art guy,
who
meet
the
Richard.
Fuck are you?
Maybe your neighbor, Richard. We're not
you
sure.
Guys can
share
be besties.
A bottle of wine.
I'm guessing that Richard's at bottle 5.
I actually think he said he was done with 5. He's
I think
six.
He's bottle 8 of 7 right now.
How's my math? So anyways, I thought it very interesting that after all the ties with the mafia and the Catholic Church and how intergrained they are, that the Pope that Frank just stood up and
Frank's
said,
like,
fuck no.
Off. You can go to hell.
I just, except for the pot thing, which, well, he'll evolve. Yeah.
Well, I think he looked at the books and realized, we got enough money now.
Yeah, right?
He didn't look at the books, he looked at the walls. It's all on the walls. Like, fuck damn. Right.
Yeah. Say hello to my little friend.
We have liquid. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have liquid assets here. So let's just talk about the World fucking Cup.
Oh, and wait. Is what? It sports and stuff?
Yeah, but we had no play. She wants a song.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing the full thing.
I want the music.
Okay, well, stand
music.
By.
She wants her own music.
Then read something, bitch.
Oh, there's a World Cup guy who likes to bite people, and there's baseball season, and WNBA season, and Big Brother starts tomorrow.
That's a guy
got stuck in a vagina in another country, but not a girl's vagina, a pretend vagina. And who wants to hear that story? Everybody!
How many bottles in are you?
Wow. Only 1.5.
How big were those bottles? All right, continue on.
Cheers! Okay, you can talk about the World Cup now, except the guy that bites people.
Yeah, so the World
big
Cup
two
happened.
People!
We found out that there is something not sexy about the World Cup.
What is it?
That someone bites people. Yeah.
Well,
no, but seriously,
biting can bite be sexy.
Nah.
Was it a bite or did his mouth happen to hit his shoulder?
No, he bit him. This is the second time.
I didn't see. Oh,
he bit him.
Biting can be sexy. Offender. I will say again, chat room folk.
We have a repeat offender.
Yeah.
I'm going to play counterpoint to Jane, you ignorant slut over here. that.
Thank you, Jane Curtin. No,
Jane Curtin.
Seriously.
Oh, I forget.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Sure.
Henderson.
Yeah, that's where you're going
to
go with that.
However you get to Jane Curtin. But they did point, counterpoint.
74, 75. How old were you?
Not Harry and the Hendersons. I wasn't born in 75.
74, 75. How old were you?
I was born in 79. I was -5.
Jesus, you got nothing. We got nothing.
So there was a, anyways, it was a thing on SNL, and whenever the counterpoint to Jane Curtin was always Dan Jane, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, yeah.
See if I can
so
find
anyways,
it
the two things I don't find sexy in the entire world, one is biting. But
you haven't ever been bitten, right, Al Perkins? I apologize.
Well, that's
for you.
Like saying he hasn't slept with the right woman. Hey, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah, they, enough good people point. Have tried that. We're like, stop that now.
As long as it's below the nipples, I'm good. But
higher number one that always stays on the list of things that make the dick go down fast is the word baby anywhere in a sexual conversation.
Come on, you've baby. Talked about that.
Come on, oh, baby.
I can do babe.
You've talked about
no,
that.
No, no version.
I can do
no,
babe. Yeah, he I can babe a lot, but not baby. Yeah.
No, no pig versions. No babies.
And the for point of reference, here we are.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
So I have to say that I've been watching the World Cup at the gym with a constant boner because these guys are so fucking hot.
Yes.
And they're always touching each other inappropriately. Oh my God, instant lack of wood when the biting started. And I'm like, nope. And the biter and the bitee, both amazingly beautiful men. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, not turned on at all anymore.
Yeah, but that's apparently a thing for that guy. Suarez, I know. I think is his name.
And he's
not
so
just
cute.
The second time. Like, I know. This is apparently. Hey,
I'm thinking of version therapy. Hey, every time I bite somebody, we're going to shock you in the bollocks.
Speaking of.
The bollocks. Good.
Speaking of biting. Speaking of biting, if you are not interested at all in football/soccer, for you American folk,
who's not?
Such as myself. You can go online and instead of
nobody
looking
up dies
the world,
in soccer.
Stop. Instead of instead of looking up the World Cup, you can look up the World Pup, which like Animal Planet does the Puppy Bowl. They also do World Pup, and you vote for dogs, and they advance for brackets. And there are dogs that represent countries, like the Shar Pei represents China, and the Alaskan Malamute represents America.
This is a mental illness, ladies and gentlemen.
P.S. What do you think my summer school kids are doing tomorrow? Watching the videos and taking notes. Main
stroking
idea
off
details.
The puppies. Al, shouldn't I talk to you for just a second privately? The next time that like somebody's missing, remind me just
that she took them.
No. I need to call other
only
people.
Only if they harmed an animal.
I gotta call other people because we gotta get off this ASPCA thing. Because I swear, if that woman shows up and sings sad songs about puppies,
I would. Oh my God! Oh my God! God get damn. Out of my head! I'm like Sarah McLachlan's gonna come in here and
I swear to God,
Sarah McLachlan's gonna come in here and sing next to a corpse.
25 cents a day helps a kid in Nigeria, but 50 cents can raise a dog.
I care about the dogs.
Yeah, I gotta turn the dog.
Good thing you're a teacher.
Okay,
why don't you just go work in an animal shelter?
CVAG.
I would if they it's Canadian Van Ark guy.
Oh, okay.
So that's all I have to
I
say.
I C-Badge.
I got C-Badge.
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 I
got to
abbreviate
Canadian that
Van shit. I think Canadian Van Ark guy
there's a
just
cream.
Rethought Canadian his name. When you made it C-Badge, I think he just said to himself, nope.
Nope.
Gonna walk away.
Well,
my name's
Clayton
Pete.
Was gonna point out that there's a cream
okay,
for that.
So listen.
Yeah, I think there should be.
So listen, jackasses.
C-Bond.
I today Googled World Cup for Dummies 2014 because I don't give a shit about this, but I figured you guys with sports and stuff, I should talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
sports and gay men.
Why
really.
Do you need sports?
I still have nothing to talk about.
Why do you need to, all you need to know is that there's beautiful, beautiful men in shorts running up and down the field and that the Nigerian
it's in Brazil.
The Nigerian goalie.
Even better.
The United States beat Ghana.
Yeah.
Tied.
No,
they beat Ghana.
They beat
then
Ghana?
They tied the second round.
They tied Portugal.
That's Portugal.
And Thursday,
Portuguese water dog, Bo, Barack Obama's dog, World Pup.
Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Arizona time is when the Germany play.
Happy
but
summer solstice.
I will just tell you, and I can't remember if Greece is still in or if they got eliminated today, but the Greek goalie and the Nigerian goalie.
Looking it up.
Oh my God. And he's on my Facebook page. I pick because I'm in the brackets. It's on. I'll put it to the
Greek goalie.
But I might be wrong, but look up Nigerian goalie because he's unbelievable.
I'm voting right now in the ABC News World Cup online.
You can vote on World Pup
Hot guys,
hot guys
bracket.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so right and they did and the guy from Portugal who's like the most famous right now, he's like the Beckham of the World Cup. Yeah. And he made it through. The guy he's against, it's questionable. I think they put him in a really easy bracket. I don't think it's fair. But there's like, and I put my two favorites on my Facebook page.
Ooh.
One was named Tim something or other, and the Nigerian goalie, Now, his picture was lovely, but I watched the game with Nigeria, and I got to tell you, everything was working.
Yeah. It's Jezebel.com as the hottest list of World Cup players.
Oh, my God.
One has a lot of wet splashing around it. I don't know if it's
I'm going to put the... Here, wait. Go to the chat room. I'm put the link in the chat room right now.
And you seriously, in the next vote, you vote now in this bracket, and then I think it's like a day and a couple hours. If you put your email
Cuddles
in...
No, pity party.
No, I just redid it. I just added the new link.
Steven.
How did that happen?
I don't know, but you did it wrong.
I don't know, but he looks... He's a pimple, though. Yay, Cuddles.
Standby. I clicked paste and not copy. I'm one drink
in. I really have to say, I've been aware of it before. Mm. We've talked about the different places that I've been that have seen it. But I have to tell you, I've watched pretty much a match a day, or at least
there it is.
Three quarters of a match a day. And I'm taping Thursdays.
At the gym.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very motivational to to watch the most beautiful specimens. I mean, this is just the most beautiful guys. And I'm like, why are gay guys not into this?
Soccer just hasn't picked up, but really is.
But honestly, who gives a shit what they're doing? This is like watching a fucking calendar of hot men run by every 5 minutes, sweaty in shorts, and then they touch each other.
All you have to do is hover over the names and their pictures pop up, FYI, for those of you playing.
Right, so you decide to hide a guy, then you click submit, it's going to ask you for your email address, you give them that.
Okay.
And the email address lets you know when the next voting starts so if your guy makes it through the next...
Ew, I don't like Joe Hart or Steven Gerrard.
You want us to tell you who to pick?
I don't like Cristiano Ronaldo. His face is lopsided.
How can you not like Cristiano Ronaldo?
His face is lopsided.
But I think he's in an easy bracket.
Did he have a stroke, honey?
I have no idea who he is.
I don't know. David Vila's got the fuzz.
But on the
happening.
Bottom right, if you're on the page, on the bottom right is the Nigerian goalie.
Bottom and right, Vincent Inamaya.
Oh, I didn't vote for everybody.
And then
he's up against Ezekiel. I agree with you. The Vincent Inamaya and Inamaya. He wins.
He's good. Looking.
I didn't vote for everybody.
Who loves it when I get to drink at the show?
But I can't remember. His name is Tim. He's bald, and he is just a delight.
Robin
Blue eyes.
Van Persie. He wins.
So it's fun.
Ew.
What?
Italy's Andrea Pirlo?
He looks like a BG.
Come on.
Yeah, they're not all winners. And he's in a category that...
Come on.
I don't like that category either.
Because the rest of them are like these hot young men, and then there's this guy. It's not a touchscreen, honey. It's an old school.
It's not a touchscreen.
Well, arrow down and find the Tim guy.
If it was, I'd never leave my living room.
So let's move on. This will never end.
Tim Howard.
Is his name Tim Howard?
That guy?
Oh, my God.
He has really pretty eyes. They're kind of like yours.
That is the shit.
You're more beautiful
You look
than
like
he
a
is.
Soccer player, Mark.
Oh, he's from USA. I didn't even realize it.
Well, you better hunt him down.
I was masturbating to a local. That's exciting.
good to know. Isn't that good to know?
Bollocks.
Well played.
Drink up, people. Bollocks.
All right, so...
Okay, so we've wrapped up sports, other stuff, right? We're good with that?
Yeah, I'm done.
So now...
Okay, I got stuck in a vagina in another country. Martin will talk about it next week. Go.
Well, we already covered vaginitis.
No, it's even better. It's just ridiculous, this guy. Go ahead.
You go.
He climbed up on a statue to take a picture and then fell into it.
And then fell into this vagina.
It was a statue of a vagina.
It's a wood carving.
Are in the vaginas.
These people are
successfully in the vaginas.
But that's not the one he got stuck in.
No, I have it up. Stand by. Jeez Louise.
We like to.
So he.
That's the Washington Monument.
We can't have Gonzo reporting
here.
He falls into a vagina.
Do you remember that episode of Sex and the City with the where they paint the vagina and Charlotte? They have to pick out which one's Charlotte's.
Oh, totally.
That's
this Totes
one.
Badge.
All right,
Totes
we badge. Are.
Wait, do we know who Steven is? I feel lost with Steven.
Steven who?
I don't know. Where
Steven in the chat room.
I haven't got there. Let me play this opening and we can figure out who Steven is.
Oh, hi, Steven.
Yeah, let's go for this right now. Can we please? Yes, let's do this.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Good luck.
Jessica style.
And that's that voice is stolen from Tosh.0 back when, what's the fucktard's name? Lindsay Lohan used to read it.
Oh, there you go.
Enjoy.
I forgot about that. You are correct.
That was a long time ago.
All right, so here we go. We have a couple here. This is a fun book. It's called What Would You Do? And I'm going to base it off the ABC special on Friday Nights of the same name. You just celebrated a significant birthday that a close friend failed to acknowledge. It's now that friend's birthday. Marnie, Ryan.
Yes. I feel like this is close to home somehow.
Yeah, I know. I do too.
Yeah, broken bell.
No, your cord's caught in your bell. Aaron?
I told you, Steven.
After
C-Badge, his name is Steven. Hi, Steven.
Canadian van art guy.
Sorry, C-Badge.
You are too funny. But, that's Steven, you have to. Awesome. If you can find us on Facebook,
no, you
Facebook
forever C-Badge to us, honey.
You have to explain Canadian van art guy, because I like that name. It just when it abbreviated to C-Badge.
I think he paints things on
Richard Heisenblum
on rape vans from the 70s. I'm going
to
guess.
Richard, I drink to you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Richard, you're making me laugh.
He puts murals on rape bands from
murals?
The 70s. Muriel, whatever
wedding.
Her name is.
Muriel's wedding.
Where's wedding? I just went ding, ding.
I like it.
All right.
I broke my bell.
All right. So, a significant birthday.
You just celebrated a significant birthday that a close friend failed to acknowledge. It's now that friend's birthday. What would you do?
Is it a significant birthday for the friend?
Does it matter?
It's just their birthday.
I would send them a card just like I would normally, and it would be funny, and I would. It is what it is.
Okay.
It's my birthday. It doesn't matter. What? I'm being serious.
Sadly, I know you're right.
She is. She's a bigger person than I am.
No, I am. Thank you.
So
I take that the right
knock
way?
It. I'm the pregnant one, remember? Stop. Okay, so I have a really good friend who just dinged. Somebody just dinged.
I know. Keep talking.
Things ding.
I have a I have a really good friend who I guess I could call a really good friend sometimes who does not care about birthdays. They are not important to him at all. He was my roommate for a while. I never care about him dearly. He, three birthdays in a row, totally blew it off. The first time I got pissed at him. We talked about it. We had a conversation. The second time I got devastated and talked to him for months.
Is he just not good with a calendar?
No, I think it just...
Some people just don't think birthdays are all that important.
But talk to me about this. If you don't think birthdays are that important, but we're really good friends and you know that my birthday is important to me, do you then honor the fact that they're important to me and acknowledge my birthday? Even a text, happy birthday. Or see me across campus and saying, happy birthday.
Yeah, I mean, I just... There's a point where birthdays become, like, so retarded that I have to, like,
pick another word
step
out.
Away.
Pick another word.
No, I'm going to go with that one because that's the appropriate... That is the word I mean in this situation because I'm not insulting anyone with a disability at this point.
I get... So here's what I would do. If I'm being totally honest with you, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I would stew over it all day long and then late at night, like at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I would send them a happy birthday text or message or whatever.
But if I thought I was going to get on your skin so much, I would just say happy birthday to not deal with all the drama. Mm-hmm. If saying happy birthday shuts you up, I'll do it. Like,
so does that? So by ignoring my birthday, does it mean I matter? Does it mean I matter more or less? Because if you want to just get me off your back,
if they don't matter to him, then it does. You just have to.
I don't think it's about you at all.
It's not about you at all. You just have to accept
it. She's making it about her, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, this is a sore one for me. No. But I would ignore it all day long, being like, I'm going to ignore yours because you ignored mine. And then I would send a message late at night, and then I would be pissed off that he never responded to me. Yes, I'm a child. Have you noticed that?
I'm pretty.
Dead Beaver. I'm a child.
I'm pretty good about remembering birthdays, and I like cards, so I send cards.
Yeah.
I like receiving cards. So I send cards, and I like a day with friends. Like, I don't really, like, I don't want to party. If you say happy birthday to me, you're going to get a knife in your fucking neck.
I get it.
We're not going to wear tiaras. We're not going to get dressed up.
In fact, I think you and Clayton both missed my day at Windsor, but Daniel Ray came.
I went.
Oh, yeah, you did
fucking
work.
See, now there's no reason to even go.
Oh, so now the fact that you didn't even remember him being there, now it's on you.
I was drunk, like I am now. I don't even know.
Always the fallback. Always the fallback excuse.
But, Al loves me.
But it's one of those things that I
called
like,
you today.
I get the significance of it, but we have to keep it in context of like
I agree.
Like I'm 47 now.
Wow, again, admitting it full on.
Settle the fuck down with the birthday. If we're five,
can we do a 50 for you? A big 50?
I'll kill you.
Yeah. I think he's right.
Did that come across clearly enough?
Can we do a big 50 for you in 10 years when you get there?
10 years.
A
wink, wink, nudge, nudge. 10 years. Oh, Jesus, like, babe, go with me.
She's not terribly far behind
I'm very okay with that. I don't think I'd rather just pick who I want.
I'd like some time with friends, dinner with friends, go out somewhere, have a couple drinks. Like, I keep it appropriate. I'm not 12. I don't need a pony.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm totally.
We're buying you a pony.
We could get you a pony, or we could potentially get you a snow goat and put it in your backyard.
Oh, but then on crutches.
Because a crippled animal is going to make me happy. Think that one through for a little while.
It'll end up living in my goddamn yard.
So I barely like the ambulatory ones. Can you imagine how I feel about the less fortunate?
I barely like Will. Can you imagine how I feel about his brother?
That's good. I like it.
Oh, I have to, because I sent Harrison two cards, and I have to say, I got this one. It was something about a little black dress, and it was perfect for your birthday because it's classy. That was the only one they had. If they would have had more of this little black dress birthday card, and I think that's one that she says is classy, I would have bought a box of them and sent them to everyone. I thought it was the perfect sentiment from me for someone else's birthday, and it was simple, elegant, and I loved it. And I found it for her, and she got the only one. I couldn't find any more of them.
Oh, I love it.
But it was a darling little card about a simple black dress.
Molly's going to be 40 in November and wants a quinceanera.
Molly, I'm on it. Oh my God. Molly, my whole neighborhood has them every weekend. We'll get you a bounce house and we'll get you chihuahuas
just to go down in the front yard. We'll just send you an address to go to.
We're just going to walk you over to somebody
next
else's
door
bounce
to me.
House.
And we'll be like, arriba! Oh, Molly. Molly, people in my neighborhood, they stand on their roofs with pinatas, like a roof and an extra neighbor's roof. And
Richard,
play pinatas
Richard's
that way.
Like, what the fuck is a quinceanera?
Oh, Richard.
It's to celebrate a young girl's 15th birthday.
Richard.
But she loses her
Molly's
virginity.
Molly's going to play stupid all the way up to the door of the bounce house and pretend quinceanera means 40.
Yay, Molly!
Richard, Google that. You'll figure it out.
You wear pretty dresses and have bounce houses.
All I know is if I hit you in the head with a stick, prices are going to fall out.
Molly, if you get in a bounce house on your 40th birthday, I'll pay for the bounce house.
If you hit Molly in the head.
As long as it's intended for someone else.
Molly, we're buying that shit.
Molly, you in danger, girl.
Yeah, Molly,
I think everybody at the quinceanera is in danger.
I think that if you hit Molly in the head with a stick, you would get expletives flying out of her mouth. Like it
prizes.
Would be,
maybe one piece of candy and four fuck-bombs.
Well, that's because she was chewing on like a butterscotch candy. And she'd be like,
oh, a Werther's. I do enjoy the Werther's.
I do enjoy the Werther's. Hit her. I want her Werther's. All right.
We'll buy her a bag of Werther's. Hit her. Here, have another one.
I've been craving butterscotch. Hit that girl over there.
Bam.
Oh, my God.
Really? Butterscotch and Werther's over the little strawberry things with the gel in the middle?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdos.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, God. Wait, somebody forgets your birthday.
Look at this one throwing stones.
I think...
She doesn't care if you get hurt.
Now, again...
You're not a goat, or a gator, or a beaver.
Now, you said someone forgets it. But the question is, somebody, a good friend forgets it, correct?
Yeah.
Since that's a handful of people... I'm one of those people who doesn't forget shit like that. Like, there'll be a check mark by your name, and I'll remember it forever. And I'll hold it over your head forever. Because I might not ever let you know that I've done it. And you might never know when revenge is coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But fortunately, I honestly really don't give a shit. I would prefer, for the most part, all my birthdays, it comes, it goes, I don't really give a shit. But that's how I really am. Now, my 40th was a big, because that was a milestone. And it was fun to do the roast and the thing that we did.
Yeah.
45 is in two months.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Still a milestone, but I don't think we really need to do much.
Yeah.
50 is another milestone. Okay, we'll get there when we do. But again, I'm kind of like Al. If you friends show up, we're good. I don't care. Yeah. I like to
spend it with close friends that I like and that know me.
I agree.
Me. And my 40th birthday accidentally, they surprised me at the bar and they made something. They made a nice video and it turned into a party, but. It wasn't intended to be, and it was just this video that they made, and I didn't work there anymore, and it was really nice, and I do tend to watch it all the time.
But it was
just all the years that I'd been there, and they had made a goodbye video for me, and I had told Darren, because he made all these, he used to make all
You're
these fun videos.
You're goodbye.
No,
too old to work at the bar.
I left before then, and then a year later, I turned 40, And they had made a really nice goodbye video for me that was very sweet. But I had told Darren, I'm like, you make all these videos for all these different people for different reasons. I'm like, just make sure, like, when I turn 40 or I'm dead,
right,
I get one of these videos. And they made it for my leaving the bar, and it was very sweet. And then when I turned 40, he was like, I know I just made you one last year, but I do kind of owe you one more, because that we didn't follow the rules.
Aww.
But
that's
so that, it was very sweet, and it was and I was just there drinking, and they just popped, like, I wasn't even supposed to be there, and I think it was like a couple days before or after my birthday or something, but they popped in the video, and I was like, that is hysterical.
I didn't answer the full question, because I think, in fairness, yeah, if a close friend forgot mine, I don't really chalk it up too much. But when it comes around, I feel that most of my friends in that same line are the same way.
No.
So if maybe I get you the day after, maybe I get you the day before,
sure,
like, oh my God, I'm sorry, I've been so busy. I think most of the friends that I hang that are of that caliber to me,
yeah,
understand my world, and I think their world
is
similar.
That's exactly it. Life happens.
If you miss me by a day or two, you miss me a day or two, but then let's have a cocktail and celebrate. Right. If you mean a lot to me, let's have a cocktail a week or two later, or a month or two later. Yeah. But let's just get together and have some quality time.
Sure. And I have a couple of friends that are like, they're bad with and thank God for Facebook, because I'm better with
But I won't send you a Facebook birthday message. I text you happy birthday, because otherwise...
I try to get it so it's not the same, the words happy birthday, because then it bops them, it lumps them together. Go ahead.
Can I just jump? Steven, right quick. Steven in the chat room, remember I told you, was it last week, the gentleman who'd found us and could never listen to us live because he worked?
Oh, yeah.
That's him. Now we go.
Steven, did you do the TuneIn app? I downloaded the TuneIn app to listen
Vancouver,
tonight, but now I'm
British
here.
British Columbia.
Yes.
Very good.
Welcome, Steven.
Welcome. And I'm sorry you got sick.
I'm sorry you got sick.
Okay, so did we round table that? We good with that? Do we have another question?
Yep.
I think we should have another question.
All right. Yeah. I've got a couple ready. This is a fun little book. You're asked to write a letter of recommendation for someone you don't think very highly of. What would you do?
I've done that shit. I'd just be... If I'm in a position where I have to, like,
I think, what if you have a professional relationship?
Right.
That it's fine, but personally, you don't think very much of them.
Right. That's how I take this. If that's the case, and professionally they do well, then I don't have any problem with it, because I'm not writing a personal, right? It would be a professional reference, I would think.
Oh, I got an answer.
If it's someone who comes up and would ask me to write something like that, and let's say it's just me being me, and I would be like, sure, you know, because I'm not real good at doing the no thing, I would keep it vague. Kind enough, but vague, and have done my part, and now you should go. Yeah, moving along.
I had a brief stint as my union president in my school district, and a lot of times people would ask me to write letters of recommendation for them. And one time, fucking pain in the ass, who was not good at her job, asked me to write a letter of recommendation. And I think you've noticed that I'm the kind of person that has a hard time saying no. Or
what if they said it was about their
standing
puppy?
Up? Well, then I'd be like, let me write you that shit.
No,
you want to get a puppy? I'm on it. But I told this lady that I would write her a letter. So here's where it bit me in the ass. Because I told this lady I'd write her a letter of recommendation. It was very vague, and it was very... She's a kind person, because she was.
She's a cunt.
She sucks balls at her job. And so, turns out then I transferred school. She's applied for a job at my school. And my principal was like, because I was like, don't hire her. And she's like, really? Because you wrote her a really nice letter of recommendation. Ah, shit. And so then I realized, like, maybe I should be a little more honest. So I think now I would say that I would be happy to be a reference, but not write a letter of recommendation.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And because then as a reference, I can say, yes, they worked here. No, they didn't work here. Sure. Yes, they came to work. No, they didn't go to work. And then leave it at that. And I could blame it on being really busy.
I think that's
great. And I'm not mistaken, in corporate America, I think that's a lot of what they're getting to, is they don't want to be on the line for all of the accolades of how the person was. They literally get worked here from date to date.
Were that's
they
on how time? It is in school
They
districts.
Showed up on time. Right. They left on time.
Would you rehire them, yes or no, period? Yeah. That's the question.
If someone, for a job reference, if someone calls you about a job
reference. Harrison, I love you right now.
If someone calls you for a job reference about a former employee and you were their boss, all you can say is you can confirm
that they worked there
from that date to that date. You can say whether they're rehirable, but I can't remember.
You don't have to.
You can volunteer, and then you can, if they tell you a salary, you can say yes, that's true, or no, that's not true at all. Okay. But you can't correct them to what it really was.
Right.
What
it was. Okay.
Right, right.
Because
right.
giving someone a job, right. a positive job reference is discrimination against the person you didn't. It's very strange about, you can't give them praise. It has to be a personal letter, not as their boss,
right.
but it has to be a personal letter from you. You can't represent the company that you worked for in a job recommendation because yeah. it's discrimination against others that you didn't praise as highly. Because they could be up for the same job. Okay. So that's why it's very strict in Arizona laws about references right. that you can only, there's only like three questions that you can answer.
Yeah. Did and they people, work there?
What they, what, everyone would relies on, and what I relied on when I called for references was I would rely on people to not know the law, and they would keep answering questions, which is completely illegal on their part. I can ask whatever I want to, but there's only like three questions you can answer.
I did recently, a colleague asked me to write, to be a reference and write a letter of recommendation for her, and I really, really like her, but she did have some flaws, and I figured out a way, because I did have a brief stint in politics, to say those flaws in a delicate manner, to where she still got the job and she still got hired, and good for her, and it makes
and
me sad.
Aware,
but they're know, aware of the fact that she's more empathetic to students with learning disabilities because she has a learning disability. Like, you know.
Yeah. Blind anyway. Leading the blind, literally?
Well, not different. Literally.
I mean, not blind,
the
but I'm
spelling yeah. disabled, leading the spelling yeah. disabled. Maybe.
Oh, she's dyslexic. Well, it looks right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah,
close enough.
Late now.
Thank God I'm out of corporate.
Yeah.
I would, if the question, as I understood it, was if it's somebody you don't care for, you don't like, or don't get along with, is that how you had phrased it, Al?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be, I don't think I would be over the top about it. I might be a little more lenient with the accolades if, you know, in a letter. Because if they were a thorn in my side and I saw an open door to get them out, I'd get them out.
Well, right. that's the catch 22.
Right. You'd write the letter to be like,
"Well, that's where you got into it." And they're like, "Well, you wrote a glowing
right,
reference."
Right. I wanted her the fuck out, but then she applied for a job in the school where I transferred, so I was shot in the foot.
Yep.
And I go with your answer. Like with Harrison, like, "Well, very punctual."
Yeah.
Her clothes are clean.
Right.
I go with the very vague.
And I think she
knows
her teeth.
Knows English mostly.
And you damning with faint praise is my favorite
I like
phrase.
That. I like that.
Mm, I love that.
I like that a lot.
Her skirts are never too short.
Never
she sometimes
short.
Wears a bra.
Maybe.
Sometimes it fits.
Yeah.
Oh, that Jesus. Could be. P.S. So I apologize tonight.
So the one thing we didn't talk about, we only have a minute, and I'm sure that none of you watched it, so we'll just go off about it. The Case Against 8.
I did.
The documentary, well done.
I'm sure none of you watched it. Look at that.
My girl watched it. She
That's why you're
sleep.
My favorite.
Well, oh, look at that.
Oh, look at
my
that.
That's because Katie June's not here.
That's right.
That's not true at all. She knows that. Buddy Early was my favorite.
Actually, that's awesome. I was going to say, and speaking of which, I just saw Buddy Early at Starbucks the other day.
I have to say, there were some criticisms about the documentary that it left out a lot of the facts on either side. But I thought that there was a documentary about who got involved and who brought up Prop 8. I mm-hmm. can't remember what that documentary is called, but I'll Google it. And I thought this was brilliant that it was the personal stories.
Yeah, I did.
And like I said, it was the time and money wasted and the lives affected by this stupid law.
5 years worth.
5 years. And that these people were waiting to move on with their lives, and they were hand selected. Were you surprised by the vetted hand selected?
I was. That kind of. I was. That intrigued me. It had to be the right faces for it, and the right stories, and all of that. Yeah.
And now, is there? Like the lesbian couple at first said they didn't think that they had that they thought their stories were too dissimilar. Now how did you feel about that?
That they say that one more time. I'm sorry, I just started reading that.
It's called the Mormon Proposition.
The Mormon 8. We went and saw that.
Yeah, the case against
right. We saw it over in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. We went.
Yep. Eight, so, the Mormon.
Yeah.
The Mormon
so there's a couple other documentaries on the same topic that cover the facts. I think you need to watch all three. Where the lesbian couple was saying because they had been together for so long, had raised 4 children.
Sure. Yeah. They'd been together like their kids graduated. The youngest. But they had started kindergarten they got together.
So I was trying to do the math on that. So that would mean that they were...
So 8 minus 13 years.
They were together 7 years before when the case started.
Yeah, that would sound right. Yeah.
7, 8 years.
Yeah.
But did you agree with her initial assessment that, like, they should not be in the same... lawsuit, and it was just brief. She only touched on it briefly.
Yeah, and unless I kind of glossed over that, I wouldn't have agreed with that.
Okay, I thought that too, and I liked how they like immediately changed their mind, and she was right on board.
Yeah, because I must have glossed over that because I would not have agreed with that. I think that they were a fantastic. The fact that they were a part of it, and the fact that she said seeing her name. It was her against Schwarzenegger.
And I thought that was unfair, too, because Schwarzenegger didn't defend it.
Well, but it's just like anything here against Brewer.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be that way, yeah.
So it's a very good documentary. It's one of those ones that suffers from the problem where there's not, like, a point, counterpoint answer to the problem that usually makes a better documentary. This is all very, this is their story laid out plain.
So I loved that it was the gentleman that was
Ted Olson, and the Ted Olson story is really the compelling part about the case
amazing,
against Tate.
Yeah.
And we've talked about him. Ted Olson was the Solicitor General for George Bush, George W., and he is the one that won the court case to get George Bush elected president. He argued against Gore. So it was the two lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
It was the two lawyers, the one that argued for Gore and the one that argued for Bush, that came together for the case against Tate. And Ted Olson's wife Barbara was on the plane that hit the Pentagon in.
That's right.
And he was one of the most famous phone calls that he was on the news almost immediately saying, and she was always on Bill Maher. She was a constant guest when it was called Politically Correct on ABC. She was a constant guest, and she may have been flying back from an appearance on his show. Might be that recent. And told her. So, I mean, it was just, there's a lot of history behind Ted Olson. So it was really interesting that he just is, and everyone was saying, like, Ted Olson? And he was like, this is a right. Like, this is what I believe in. I am a conservative. I believe in individual freedoms. I believe in the Constitution and the 14th Amendment. This is what I stand for. You're misconstruing everything I'm arguing.
You're taking conservative and Republican and you're afraid of it. But
what he stands for as a conservative is this, is individual rights and the government not. Yep. And so it's a beautiful, when you see him interact and the praise and the accolades he gets from them for helping them. And the lawyer, the other lawyer, the more liberal lawyer, the one you would think would argue the case, when it gets time to go before the Supreme Court, he's like, there is no one I would rather have argued this case than Ted.
I remember hearing about their story, how they came together.
And at the end, when one of them said, I would put my life in both of these men's hands, and I was like, I got pretty choked up.
I seriously cried for the last four. I cried for the last, but it wasn't like, like, I realized, like, my face was wet for, like, the last 45 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, I've been on a steady stream of. I don't believe in marriage. I don't like it. I don't want anyone to get married. I think it's stupid and it's a waste of everyone's time and money. But I'm so for your fight. Like, if you're for it, if you want to get married, I do not want to deny you it, but I don't personally believe in it.
Are you for a party that celebrates love?
I'll go.
No. Fuck the marriage part. Are you like?
No, I'll go to your wedding too. It's just not for me. It's one of those things. Like, if you want to do it, I am 99.999% behind it.
All right.
I just don't want it for me.
For you.
Yep.
Or like, it's just not something I have any. I have no interest in it.
That was.
But I have no interest for straight people either.
Yeah,
like, I don't.
Exactly.
I don't understand why anybody wants it.
That.
But if you tell me that you want to get married. I'm 100% on board, and if you play Last Dance at the reception, you got me.
Yeah.
This one was against it till, you know, she fell in love with me, and then she's all hook, line, and sinker now.
Yeah.
Yep. It's true. That is true.
Bollocks.
But what I loved was the personal side of it for me was with Bron and Brandon, and having performed a ceremony, and, you know, 3 years before that was not legal, but having the ceremony, and then 3 years later, and watching this, and then watching this documentary, performing the ceremony that was legal in City Hall, and that's where I just caught.
Yeah,
like, where they were walking up to City Hall, and the pomp and circumstance, just all of it, and being able to picture, you know, where we walked and what we had to do, to think that people couldn't do that. It just made me very happy that was there.
It did me too. This was their dream. I mean, it's not my dream, but that doesn't mean I can't empathize with you and like acknowledge that this is what you want, and it means something to you. So I'm on board completely.
I want a bigger flat screen TV, and I mean, he can be on board with that.
Right.
Not everybody wants a big absolutely. Flat screen. Absolutely. Not everybody does.
Not everybody does.
I stand my ground on HBO. You may not.
Apparently, I do now.
But that is the thing with empathy, though, is you have to, like, just because it's not what you believe in, sure. if someone else tells you, then you have to go. Yeah. You're in. I'm in. Yeah.
Donna Summer did a song, I Will Go With You. And that's what he's talking about.
Conte Partiro.
We've wrapped up another show. It's 3 hours in the bag for us. It's Studio C. This is the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee. This week, alongside Aaron Henderson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, rounding out our cast of tonight's show. Woo! Remember, you can email us, join us on Facebook, find us any way you can. Thank everybody who has been joining us in the chat room. There's Steven, there's Richard, there's Tomo, there was Harrison,
there's C-Badge, Meow
Cow,
Tyler.
So many people.
C-Badge!
Molly
was there.
Molly, you in danger, girl. Makes me laugh.
More than likely, you'll tune in again next week, but we will leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday
on Q Talk America.